This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to Geek and Sassy. My name is Jennifer Smith. I'm here with the wonderful and beautiful and alive Miranda. How you doing, Miranda?
Friend and alive.
Yeah, and talking.
I can talk, but disclaimer, if you hear me sound funny all of a sudden in this, what we're going to attempt as recording, I'm still a little non-talking, so.
A little non-talking, so perfect time to record a podcast.
Right, do it while Miranda can talk.
Right, before the non-talking.
Right. If I talk a lot during the day, which, because I work from home and I don't have to talk a lot, it kind of helps. But, like, if I have really long conversations, then my jaw is kind of like, hey, bitch, can we stop? So that's when it'll go back to the, like, almost like you're clenching your jaw talking through those teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and I'm not clenching, but you know that sound, like when somebody's holding their teeth together? Like, I can force myself to do it because you're not like that. But, like, it's kind of like that. It's a little more clear because of the way the jaw sits now. It does sit differently. So that's new. I have a new bite. Like, yeah.
Ooh. It's But like everything went well, though.
Everything so far has gone really well. It is it's like a 3-month process, but the surgery itself went really well. Like, huge shout out. If you ever have to have something like this done, definitely see Dr. Coslin. He is out of like the Birmingham area in Alabama. It's a drive for me. It was like a 3-hour drive to see him. He has multiple offices. It's like a 3-hour drive to his office, but they did it at Brookwood Medical Facility, which is like a suburb of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And hands down, the best hospital service and care I have ever been given. From the moment I walked in the door and didn't know where I was going till the moment they put me in my car. Like, and they took me in a wheelchair to my car. Oh, my mom drove, but
I was going to say,
hands down, yeah, it's absolutely the best care and service I've ever been given, ever.
Well, that's like sort of refreshing to hear, really, because I get sort of jaded sometimes with medical situations.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah, it's really nice to hear that you are well taken care of.
Well, you and E frequent several hospitals, and there's some that you prefer over others that I know have taken very good care of him, and others where you're like, I'm his mother and I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This one, like, oh my gosh, like if they ever were like, oh, we need your son to go to that, I'd be like, can we go to Brookwood? Because they really were. They even had construction going on that day that was not their fault. There was a water leak, which happens. Could happen in your home. Could happen in your restaurant. Like, it happens. And they just kept apologizing about it. And they were like, is there anything we can do? Is it too loud? You know, how can we help you? And, like, even the physical therapist, you know, they're normally torturers. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I know my nephew's listening. One does physical therapy. Sorry, guys. But they are. They're usually, like, torture. And they came to me like 2 hours after surgery and already had me doing this physical therapy. And like my body, I wasn't crying, but like involuntarily crying, like I couldn't control it. It hurt so bad. Mm-hmm. And the lady was like, I'm sorry. Let's take it slow, but we got to keep doing it. You can't leave until you accomplish this set task. But they like, I was like, are you kidding me? Even the physical therapist is apologizing and being nice. Like, but they were really, really great. They even had to shave like, not that I have sideburns, but, you know, all people have, like, sideburns, as I use air quotes. They had to shave those because they did end up having to go in at the ear, which we talked about this before when I was explaining, like, and you've seen because physically I showed you, like, mm-hmm. they might have to go in here. Well, they did. It was a little bit of the worst case scenario, but they did. They went in front of my ears, so I have, like, weird little divot things, and I was pulling my face back, like, not really, but I was, like, mashing my hands and looking at my mom, and I was like, matchmaker. And she was like, oh, stop it. Anesthesia sucked balls.
Like, yeah.
I have never been under for that long. The longest I've ever been under is maybe 10 minutes, and I came out of that bitch rough. I was involuntarily, like, crying, and then I looked at the guy that, you know, you have somebody that's assigned to you to take care of you after you're coming out of it to make sure you're okay, and it didn't do anything silly that could have been recorded. Sorry, people.
Sure.
But I was like, well, no, I remember I was having, like, complete conversation with him, and I itched, like, so bad, and I was like, why do I itch? And I'm, like, crying, and I'm like, why am I crying? He goes, it's normal. He's like, it's totally normal. Are you okay? And I was like, but I don't even want to be crying right now. And I'm a very emotional person. I was like, ask any of my friends. I cry at commercials. I cried at Hamilton. And I was like, I'm not even trying to cry. And he's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. And then the woman next to me came out, like, combative.
Ooh.
That was interesting. They were like, ma'am, 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 you're okay, you're okay. And I'm going to there. I was like, she did. She did. And I looked at the guy taking care of me. I was like, woo, dinner and a show. And he, like, died laughing. So, yes, long story short, I was very well taken care of. I came home. I wasn't so nice. My mom and my brother came and stayed a week and a half with me. And they were a lot of help. They really were. They were a ton of help. My brother took my son to school every day, picked him up every day, would get him a snack after school. My mom cooked dinner. The only bad part was I can't eat anything, even though I am beginning to be able to talk okay, I am not allowed to eat anything that requires chewing, which we went over that. I won't go over that for the people again, right? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously her and Caden and my brother still have to eat. So she's cooking, and like,
how dare them eat solid food?
I know, right? So they had tacos one night, and I lost it on all of them. Like, not meaning to. Like, it was only like my second or third day out of the anesthesia, and they told me like this may affect you for like a week or so. So I'm on not great pain medication, but like okay, because mm-hmm. I remember me telling you guys what I had, and everybody's like, really?
That's- yeah, it was kind of lame.
Right, it was kind of lame, but like when you're on that and you're still kind of, the anesthesia is still in your system and you're on like a Phenagrin and they had me take an ibuprofen too for swelling and you know, you're on a conglomeration of things. Mm-hmm. So like, I lost it on everybody.
Like, I just want a taco.
Right? I was like, and you're eight, and of course, I sort of look this, like this, my face, so I'm like, and I just want to eat fucking taco. And they're all laughing at me, and I'm like, it's not fucking funny. Like,
oh my God.
So my sweet mom, she actually did. She made like mashed cauliflower, she hates sweet potatoes and she doesn't even really know how to fix them, but she like baked me sweet potatoes because you know, when you bake them, they just like, it dumps right out.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
So I've eaten a crap ton of mashed potatoes, crap ton of soup. Yeah. So.
Well, remember we joked about this being like a really good diet for you, but, you know, maybe not.
I don't know because I'm already getting like really tired of it. I thought I'd be like so okay with this because if you like had put yourself on this diet – you'd be like, I can do this. And you would do it. And you'd be fine. Because you'd make, like, little oopses here and there. And it'd be no big deal. Mm-hmm. And you'd still reach the desired result. But because you're being forced and you physically can't, like, I have accidentally chewed a couple of times. You don't mean to. But, like, that's your natural instinct. Mm-hmm. Food goes in the mouth, you chew. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. And you do have to be careful because you want the jaw to settle correctly. You want it to align correctly. So you don't want to, that's why they don't wire shut. So saying it could have been a lot worse. They could have
for
not
sure.
Till November. Instead of just not really eating till November.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Bianca last night was like, how much longer you got, babe? And I was like, dude, don't you remember November? She's like, ugh.
Yeah, that's all.
Ugh. But if it all goes well going forward, which, knock on wood, because so far it has. If all goes well moving forward, I will be released to eat solid, chewable food the week before Thanksgiving.
There you go.
So I'll put on every bit of weight back on. No, it's great. It really is. Highly recommend them. Great, great care. Even I've had small bumps and bruises along the way, like literally and metaphorically. And they've been really great at addressing them, calling me back and helping me figure these out. And most of the things are normal. Nerves not working correctly, things like that. But I mean, it will work correctly. It's not like forever. Mm-hmm. Not like you had a stroke, like forever, this is never going to work. It's because they have to move a nerve out of the way to get to, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I am glad to hear that you can talk because we have lots to talk about. Before we get started with our main subject, you were telling me something really cool about a contest that we're going to be running.
Yeah. So, starting tomorrow on social media, so whatever day that you're listening to this, the day after on our social media platforms, you will have the chance to comment, like, share. I know that's not the standard policies on most of platforms, but the reason I'm asking you to comment, like, share is so that I can see it. Bonus entry if you have someone come follow us and tell us they sent you sent them. But you've heard us talk about in the past Fanaticon, which is local to Jenny and I, version of like any con convention, Heroes and Villains, Dragon Con, San Diego Comic Con. Obviously, it's not that big, but it's a local version of that, and it has grown immensely in the what is this Gen 4 years? They took a year off, so it would have been 5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they've grown immensely, and the founders of it and the schedulers. If you want to call, I'm looking for a word to call them, and it's like evading me. If you think of it, Jeannie and Phil, they're husband and wife. They own Fanatics out of Dothan. They also include Mike, who is my good friend that owns Fanatics here in Enterprise, and they all put on this big shebang. And you've seen Jenny and I share some of the people that are going to be coming. But I went to Phil, and he's been a super great supporter of Geek and Sassy. Jenny and I run a Geek Girl Brunch chapter together until she left me. But Jenny and I technically still run. She is an honorary member and an honorary officer still. And he's been great with us, working with us for that as well. And so I went to him and said, hey, I think our listeners would be great Fanaticon supporters and would be great attendees. Mm-hmm. And so we have been given the opportunity to give away, it's a basic weekend pass to Fanaticon, which if you aren't aware is now a 3-day event. So it'll be Friday night, Saturday, and then Sunday. Sunday it usually does end early, about 5 in the afternoon or so. But you're getting 3 days this year instead of 2.
So that's October 4th through the 6th.
Yes, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And it is in Dothan, Alabama. So you would have to make arrangements and a hotel if you needed that sort of thing. Or stay with friends. You would have to make those arrangements. But the entry into, so one weekend pass, would be the what you would win, essentially. Sorry, that's a mouthful, but I don't want to not give facts, basically.
Right, yeah. I mean, you got to have the facts.
Right. So, I mean, if you're local, fantastic. You don't have to go any extra. If you're not, hey, you still at least have that part taken care of for you. Jenny and I will be there. As of right now, it looks like Jenny and I will be doing at least one panel together. Not sure if there will be a booth set up this year, but we will be walking around. We might have some cool little things if you happen to be a Geek and Sassy fan and you can talk to us. We'd love for you to talk to us. We'd love to like take pictures with you guys and put you on our social media if you're okay with that.
And also the entire really downtown area of Dothan is involved in this.
It is.
Sort of like here in Pensacola when they do Pensacon, the whole really the downtown area, including restaurants and vendors and such,
yes,
are all involved. And Phil, it looks like, has done a good job at setting up things really all weekend.
Right.
So not just the con, but like lots of things to do. So lots of
There's food trucks. There's a new newer coffee shop downtown Dothan that's kind of partnering in a sponsor Fanaticon. So there is, like, if you need a break, like any con, sometimes you just need a break. Or like, I've already walked the floor. Like, what else could I possibly do? Well, you could go to the coffee shop and hang out with your friends. There's a cosplay competition, which is fantastic. Jenny and I have both participated in it just for fun. Mm-hmm. Jenny's group won a couple of years ago. They had a fantastic archer group that they actually won. And then something new this year is, I guess you just refer to it as like amateur wrestling, right, Jen?
Yeah, I would call it amateur wrestling.
Yeah. So, and that's still big and a lot of fun and is highly entertaining. And Phil is putting together a wrestling federation, so to speak, that will be based out of the Dothan area. And is like the inaugural, from what I understand, like the inaugural fight, the fight night will be on Friday night of Fanaticon. So to kind of kick off Fanaticon and like give you a taste of this really cool thing he's putting together, which he's a huge, huge wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. So I have no doubt that it, this will be, if it's, you know, based on what him and Jeannie have done in the past with like the Harry Potter ball that they did this last December, and then the Fanaticons in the past and the other little events they've done here in Dothan, I have no doubt that this will be done well.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
I am too. I'm excited. I'm not as big of a wrestling fan as Jenny has become and as a lot of our friends on Place to Be Nation are, but I'm excited. I think it's something that I will be able to take my son to or not take my son to, right. Or, you know, right. Like, it's something that Jenny can come up and her and I can go do by ourselves, but it's something that I can also take my son to. So I really like that. Bringing different things like this to our area is amazing. So you're getting a lot in this. You're getting that first night. You're getting that wrestling match. If you're a fan, you're getting in so you can like meet the celebrities that are coming. Jenny and I will be frequently posting and sharing those. Not that my brain has gone dead on who they are, but they're he's constantly adding. Like, he's really surprising me.
Some of the like standouts for me so far is voice actor Phil Lamarr, who was in my most favorite show of all time, Futurama, was a voice in that show. So I'm excited about that. Also,
in Pulp Fiction, too.
Yeah. The voice of Space Ghost, Coast to Coast.
Yep.
Which I think is very cool. And also Jim Ross from WWE. WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross, who I've already met in person one time, but would be glad to meet again.
And oh, I'm excited to meet him, and I am not. Like, I know who he is, and he's hysterical and phenomenal, and I'm excited to meet him. He's added several cosplayers to the list, which that's always really cool to meet talented, crafty people like that. The voice of Squidward, I'm anticipating more. Today he announced an author that I had not heard of, but I did some research on him and his name is eluding me. And his books sound really good. So I have every intention of reading his book beforehand. So I'll talk about that later. And if Jenny and I don't know, I'm thinking this would be a great opportunity for Jenny and I maybe to find some future guests, hopefully too.
Yeah. I would love to do that.
So this will go on social media. I need you to like, comment, and share. Jenny and I will be keeping a tally of these. You can get bonus entries by, you can send a friend to us. They have to message us and say, so-and-so sent me. You can email us a question that you would like us to answer for you. That'll get you an entry. Or just participation in the podcast, period. So, like, tonight, Jenny actually posted a question to social media and said, hey, give us your answers. We might read some. So, things like that. Participating with us in this pod, the questions that we might ask online, responding to us. There's several of you that do always, and we're so grateful for you. Those are ways to get extra entries, but like, sharing, and commenting on any of our platforms, whatever is your preferred, and then we will let the powers that be, we will not be drawing out of hat because we want this to be fair. There's a couple of different ways that things can be drawn, and we will do a video of that so that you can see, like, we're not picking someone that we just wanted to pick. We'll let it like a magic wheel. You can input names now online and spin a magic wheel. So we will do that. But I'd love to hear from you guys. Like email us, tweet us, Instagram us, DM us on Instagram, DM us on Facebook, comment, Twitter, like, share.
Anything.
Yeah.
Also, the winner will be announced on our next podcast, which will be our third anniversary show, extravaganza.
Extravaganza, really birthday.
How fucking fancy we're going to be this year.
Last year we called it a birthiversary, I think.
We did, didn't we? I like that.
Or maybe I accidentally said birthiversary. No, that's all right. I don't know. But so for our third birth anniversary, we will announce our winner.
Excited about it. Yeah.
I am. I know I sound like
stuff away.
Like nonchalant about it, but yes. And then there may be some more giveaways in the works. Just like participation is key.
You know what? I wish we could win our own giveaways.
That would be cool.
It would. But...
But then that would be people giving us stuff to review, and that would be really awesome as well. I'm talking to you, Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus.
Talking to you, Disney Plus. You'll Normally, I'm talking
shit
to Netflix.
Out of you, Disney Plus.
And I'm still talking to you, Netflix too. But I'm really talking to Disney Plus. Just saying.
All right. So, anything else before we get started with our main topic for tonight?
I think. I had a lot to say about D23, but we may save that for our birthiversary.
Okay.
Because it still won't be old by then because Disney Plus doesn't even launch until November. So.
Sure.
Maybe we'll go over that. Maybe, you know
that,
what?
That was a nice tease.
Yeah. I almost did a that's what she said comment.
Yeah, you should have. All right, so it is that time that we I'll love.
All right, prepare myself here. Let me see, can I do it? Can I do it?
It's the fall to the extravaganza!
See, I wasn't even going to ask you to do that out of respect for your fucked
well,
up condition.
It's a little better. For the love of the pot. For the love of the pot.
A sacrifice right there.
I did, right? That's true dedication, boys and girls, because that just hurt a little. God, I need a drink.
Before we get started on the calendar that we had decided on, I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm not for sure if you watch this or not, but Beverly Hills 90210 got a, like, revamp or reboot. I'm not sure what they're calling it. But I've been watching it. It's like a 6-week special. So it's not like a permanent thing. And
oh, is that the ask?
It has like the original cast is back. And what they're doing with the show is very cool because it's super meta in that all the characters are playing themselves. So they have like, but they can be their characters as well, because in the show, they're doing a reboot for their show. So.
Okay, so like, I watched original 90210.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me see if I get this correct. So, like, Tori Spelling is playing not only her character, but she's also playing Tori Spelling.
Yes, the main point of the show is them all just being themselves as, like, actors, right? And then they all come together to do an anniversary type deal, and then something happens, and then Tori tries to get the cast to agree to a reboot. So it's like a show within a show sort of thing. And it's really funny. Like, it's really good. I love it. I didn't expect to love it. I had no idea. But their premise is so cool and so meta and so genius. It even
do they make mention to the missing cast member? Do they?
Yes, okay. They do.
I was gonna say if they don't, then like peace, I'm out. I'm not even trying it.
No, they make mention of everything from like Tori Spelling's dad to Luke Perry's death.
What about Tori Spelling going bankrupt?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything is up for grabs, right? So
that was not a knock at her, folks. I used to watch her faithfully on her other. She had like a crafting show, and then she has a store out in LA or whatever that I've purchased from multiple times. So no, I'm not cracking jokes at bankruptcy.
But it's really great. So any fans of 90210 that have blown off this show, please don't, because it's really good. It's really good.
Do you feel that people needed to have watched the original to be able to appreciate this? Or could someone new come into it?
You know, that's funny too, because you don't have to know anything except that they were okay. huge stars and the show was a huge deal. Honestly,
if you
really, because
alive in the 90s, you know, they were huge.
Right. So that's another level of genius for me, for the show, is because you don't have to know any continuity or anything like that, because you're not technically watching 90210. You know, you're watching the actors. So it's just really cool. Like, super.
That is really cool.
Super cool stuff. Anyway, so we will get started from, we are looking at our usual source material here, which is TVLine.com. Is
that right? Yeah, I just feel that they have, in at least for us prepping, mm-hmm. They have the best calendar. There are other fall TV premiere calendars out there. My go-to prior to needing to prep for a podcast used to be TV Guide. Mm-hmm. .com. Mm-hmm. And then prior to that, like, I actually had a subscription to TV Guide for the longest time.
Really?
I did, because it was one of those, you know, those different places now where if you place an order, they're like, and you get a free 2-year, and like, you legitimately, it's not like when you go to Barnes & Noble and they offer you and then you mm-hmm. have to actually pay for it. There are a couple of companies that when you place orders, they give you like a free 2-year subscription. And I was finally like, okay. Or when Amazon would have their special, like John and I were talking about this last time I was at your house. I forget what it is he got, what he told me he got. There's a magazine he ended up getting because
Sports
Amazon offered it.
Probably, I think.
It was super cheap, like mm-hmm. super, super cheap for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I used to do that a lot, especially when they'd have like Amazon Day or Prime Day or prior to Prime Day, but, you know, things like that. And you could get, like, 2 years for $5. I'm like, well, why not? So, yeah, I had a subscription for the longest time, and I would lay my little magazine out, and I would mark and notate, and, yeah.
Well, and this is what we're here for, right? So people don't have to do that. We can just tell them what right? days and what to watch.
Now, there, what we always tell you at the beginning of when we start this, for the past, this will be year number 3 that we've given you guys this information. There may be shows that, yes, it comes on a specific night, but we don't mention it. And we don't mention it because it's either A, it's a new show that we were not interested in, B, it's a returning show that neither one of us watch, or C, like, we just have absolutely no interest and didn't know it existed.
Right.
So, and it's not a knock at your show either.
Also, another disclaimer is that this show, this episode of Geek and Sassy, will not include the CW shows, because we always give those shows previews a whole episode, because there's just right. so much to talk about. So, and we usually have a special guest for that episode. So, just tonight we won't be talking CW. Sorry about it. But we will soon, okay?
But if you know us, you know that. So.
Yes. All right. Wow.
CW's our bae, so we yeah. have to give it its own time.
Mm-hmm. So, starting with Wednesday, September 18th, I know you want to talk about American Horror Story 1984.
Yes, American Horror Story 1984, returning to the love of the 80s slashers.
That's a pretty good premise.
That is a good premise. Two alum that have been in every season are not returning for this season. Does not mean that they're not coming back, but they will not be in American Horror Story 1984.
Which two of
them? Evan Peters and Sarah Paulson mm-hmm. okay. will not be present, which wow. a lot of people
Sarah
are saying,
Paulson,
well, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know. I was a little sad. I was more sad about her than don't get me wrong. Like, to me, you see Evan Peters, you think American Horror Story. So I'm a little bummed that they're not going to be in there. But I mean, everybody deserves a break and time off. And maybe they read the script and was like, not for me this time. They have already announced that, like, there Coven, there will be more Coven. People really, really like that. You know, they brought sections of Coven back last season. Mm-hmm. So there will be more. I think they like keeping the seasons individual, but with, like, small tidbits from others. So, again, if you've never watched American Horror Story, you can, and you're, like, a big slasher film fan or 80s fan, which I think, you know, 80s did so well with Stranger Things, why not try it on another show, right? So, that's my thought process on why they went to the 80s. Plus, that's when the slasher films were really big. Oh, yeah. You know, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s. But they started getting, like, kind of cheap. In my opinion, don't get me wrong, some of the ones that I watched on repeat were from the 90s. But mm-hmm. I think that's all because that's when Jenny and I grew up the most. So, they're kind of returning back to that. It's at a camp set in the 80s. So, I mean, kind of can go from there, pretty much. There's actually going to be, like, stabby murder. Not that there's not, but like it's going to be basically like a stabby slasher film. It's pretty much.
I gotta say that if anything's going to get me in on this show, this is pretty much it.
I would love for you to watch this season.
Yeah, I might have to get into this.
See, Susan and I would love this.
Okay,
I'll create a chat. Well, I think there's already a chat with me, you and Susan, but mm-hmm. like I'll create a chat and we can discuss this.
Also that same night, and the only reason I mention this is because it did show up on the TV line schedule on the night of the 18th is when NXT moves to the USA Network from the WWE Network. So that will be their first night on cable, I guess.
So all the only change that is happening is that they're just moving to a new network, correct?
Yes, and then SmackDown, which is a show that's currently on the network, is moving to Fox. So that's
I wonder if this has to do with the mergers and the sales and the, you know, like people like Fox now being owned by other people and that kind of thing. I wonder if it's due to that stuff.
Yeah, there are more people qualified to talk about that than I am. But
same here. But I just probably is my assumption.
So anyway, NXT will be on the network or on the USA Network as opposed to the WWE Network.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, something used to be on USA.
Well, Raw is still on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, wait, something. I know I'm not crazy.
All right. So, on that Friday night, the 20th, there was something cool that I noticed, and it is on Netflix, and it is called Criminal. And it is, like, it looked like an anthology series. The trailer did not give much away, but it's 12 different crime stories based all over the world. So I didn't get the feeling that they were interconnected. So I think they're all separate stories. But there were good actors in this, namely David Tennant, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to note it.
How did I miss that preview?
Yeah.
That's definitely something I'll be interested in.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
So is it one of those, because, you know, I know you said that they didn't give you much to go on, but so from what I'm understanding is possible anthology, mm-hmm. but it's like real crimes that have taken place and they're being reenacted?
I want to say that's true.
Okay, but possibly not. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was unsure of. I'm sure I could probably look it up. Just didn't know if you knew.
I was giggling to myself because I saw that one of these next entries is from Lifetime, and I couldn't remember if you wanted to talk about it or not.
How do I not have that on mine? Tell me what it is. I need to know.
On Saturday the 21st, it says, Escaping the NXIVM Cult, A Mother's Fight to Save Her Daughter.
Heck yeah, let's watch Escaping the Cult.
On Lifetime.
Heck yeah, let's do this.
If you don't have anything else, I'll actually be at a Braves game. But
Andy Atherton would love if you supported the Lifetime channel.
Yeah, he would. Definitely watch this Mother's Fight to Save Her Daughter.
I don't know. It may be cheesy, but Lifetime several years ago did, and they've done others, but they did The Craigslist Killer. Because remember, I complained to you that I didn't like that actor that I loved. He ended up being the guy in Limitless, and now he's the son of Murphy Brown. Mm-hmm. He was the Craigslist killer in their Lifetime movie of, like, what happened. Mm-hmm. And I, like, for like a year after that, I was like, ugh, when I would see him, because I was like so angry at him. So they actually are good. Like, yes, they are like Hallmark in what they do, but they go where Hallmark won't, and they do movies such as this. So it might be cheesy good, if that makes sense.
All right. Let us know.
Sure. I'm going to do it for the pod. I'm going to write down cult movie Lifetime.
There you go. September 21st.
Gotcha. Well,
don't miss it. All right. The next night on the 22nd, the Emmys are on Fox and always like award shows. So I just wanted to mention that.
The Sassies are the best, though.
That is true. The Emmys ain't got nothing on that on us. On the 23rd, did you have anything you wanted to
start
talk about?
Really getting into the thick of it, by the way.
Yeah, this is, yeah, everything's really ramping up.
Right, like 23rd. Really starting to ramp up. Yeah, so I explained to Jenny, I meant to send her a picture, I color coded. So there are a couple here that are new. There's a lot new on this night. Mm-hmm. Jenny, are you still watching The Good Doctor?
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah, I just wanted to notate, Jenny and I both started it last season. I don't know if you made it the whole season through.
I did not, no.
I didn't, because remember how we've talked time and time again, like, something's got to go. Like, I can't keep up with everything.
Yep.
It's one that I plan to come back to later. I think I saw it was on Netflix. It's an excellent show. If you're still watching it, like, tell us what you think about it. Like, how's it going? Do you feel like second season was a good idea, bad idea, that kind of thing. But there's a lot new on this night. And the preview that stuck out to me the most was there's two, actually. Bob Hart's Abishola.
Yep, I saw that one.
That looked adorable. So it's the guy that played Mike and Mike and Molly, because I apologize, for the life of me, I cannot remember his name.
I think it's Billy Gardnell or something like
that. Yeah, that sounds right. So he has a heart attack. And he usually plays a person that lives in, like, Chicago or New York. Not sure which one it is, but he's, like, in Chicago, New York. He has
it's
a heart
Detroit,
attack.
Detroit, I think.
Detroit. Is it Detroit? Okay. Mm-hmm. He always plays where he's in, like, Detroit, Chicago, you know, big city. And he gets into the hospital, and the lady that takes care of him, her name is Abishola, and he falls madly in love with her. And he actually goes and finds her in the preview and tells her, you know, like, I want to take you out. And apparently he, like, designs and sells socks, which sounds boring, but it made it that preview comical. So, yeah, and Abishola is from, she's an immigrant from
Nigeria.
Nigeria. And it's just funny. Like, there was already jokes. Like, he goes to find her and her parents answer the door and they slam the door in his face. And then they look at her and they're like, why is a white man here for you?
Yeah.
What did you do? And she's like, I don't know.
You know, this trailer was really weird for me. Like, because I do like that actor. I really liked him in Mike and Molly. I think he's funny. But
I think he's like dude next door, like that would be like, hi, welcome to the neighborhood. If you ever need anything, let me know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, that's how I feel when I watch him.
Yeah. But the premise here is a little bit stalkery and creepy.
That's what I want to watch and see. Like,
because first of all, you're not supposed to be able to track down any of your medical professionals, like where they work. So, like,
one would think, but in the day and age, social media.
I mean, like, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it was creepy that he just, like, shows up on the bus and her friend's like, ooh, stop.
Yeah, like, he shows up like, at her door. He shows up at her work. He shows up on the bus. I mean, it's like,
So, I'm hoping once the show actually, like, airs that they'll play that out where it's less creepy, maybe. Or like, explains, like, how that happened.
Right.
Because Detroit's big. So, like, you can't, it's, I mean, not that you can't just stumble across somebody because it happened, but, I mean,
no,
to me, like,
the
you have
point
to physically go find them.
He made the point of tracking her down, like, that's part of it. So, you know, I'm not a fussy person, but to me, that's a little bit like, you don't really want to base your show around this concept. But anyway.
I liked the cutesy part of it, so I am waiting to see. Like, I was with you, and I was like, oh, did he just show up at her house? How did that happen? But I'm hoping that that's explained better, or that, like, it's so Hallmarky that I don't care.
Right. You just see the romance of it and not, like, the actual. Yeah.
You guys know I love that shit, so.
All right, what else stuck out that night?
that night, All Rise, I won't talk about that too much. You can go look up, watch the preview. It's a judicial, looks pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Female judge, if I remember correctly. She's like the first female judge or something. Anyway, looked really good. I was like, okay, I'll try it. But the one that was really interesting was Prodigal Son. Prodigal Son, everybody says it's different. Mm-hmm. So that, if I'm not mixing up shows here, the main character is a...
This may be the only one I didn't watch.
I feel like you would like this one. This merges the things that you and I like together. Which you and I like a lot of the same things, but like you're not as big into like the crime dramas as I am. Mm-hmm. So, he is a criminal psychologist, and he helps the NYPD solve crime, stop killers.
Okay, but, who's the actor in this?
This is. Let me see if it will tell me. Actors.
All right.
It's not telling me executive producers. Yeah. So, Tom Payne, who looked familiar.
Ooh, yeah, from The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Michael Sheen is in it. Lou Diamond Phillips is in it. Trying to see Bellamy Young. Halston Sage, I don't know. Aurora, I can never say that. Perianu. Frank Hartz and Kiko Agina, or Agina. I'm not sure how you say it. Agina. It could be even Agina. But
it's definitely
anyway.
Vagina.
It's, oh my God, if my last name was Vagina, I would so change it. Actually, no. I'd become the best damn romance writer in the world.
I mean, you would basically have to with that last name.
Right? Like, it's predestined. But so he's this gifted criminal psychologist. The twist to it is his father is a serial killer. Oh. And he's trying to bond with his son, with his prodigal son, and with his own neuroses. And I think it's his sister's a journalist, mother is manipulative and jacked up. I don't know. It looked like the best of a crime drama and the best of like a serial killer get into your brain at the same time.
All right.
But I'm hoping that the preview was not the best. Kind of like with movies, I'm hoping the preview was not the best of what,
all right.
And you know, like it showed you the greatest parts of.
That's on Fox, right?
That is on Fox, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. One that I highlighted as I don't know, it looked kind of good, was Bluff City Law. Mm-hmm. It was more of a, had funny, it's going to be more like on the lines of like Bull or one of those from what I saw at least. I could be wrong. It's your basic like judicial thing, but it looked like there's like funny witty jokes and things like that. That's on NBC, so very to be expected kind of deal from NBC.
Jimmy Schmitz looks like Schmitz? Okay.
Yeah,
whatever. Okay. I feel like that's going to be a one-and-done type thing. But
probably. That's why I gave it a yellow, which mm-hmm. yellow means new, not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
All right.
Green means new, and I'm going to try at least your first couple episodes and give you a chance.
What about on Tuesday the 24th? Is there anything on that night?
Tuesday the 24th, yes, yes, and yes. NCIS is back. You guys know that, like, I heard it big. Big love for NCIS. Left it on a cliffhanger last season where we may be getting someone back that has been gone for many seasons, but we lost someone at the end of last season too. Mm-hmm. So it's sad day. I watched The Voice off and on, so I highlighted it. Mm-hmm. And then FBI, which if you remember, I cannot say his name. It's like, he just goes by Z.
Okay.
I can't say his name. He was a nerd eye candy, and then I reposted him.
Oh, yeah.
Hotness! I fell in love with him on this show. He's one of the main characters, and then Missy Pegram is his partner. So I will continue FBI. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Very serious, but they have, like, funny, lighthearted moments with each other. And then NCIS New Orleans, continuing that, mm-hmm. of course, as well. Mixed-ish looked really funny.
It did, didn't it?
So, I did not know this. I've only ever seen bits and pieces of Black-ish, which is funny.
It is funny.
I don't know why I don't watch it regularly. But, so, I gave it a yellow, as in, like, I don't know. I might.
Yeah.
But it's about the mom.
Yeah.
Growing up.
They've done something really interesting with Black-ish, which I did watch for years, honestly.
I thought you did.
And, so they did, the first spinoff they did was, holy shit, what was the name of it? Where the daughter went off to college.
See, I was thinking when I was sitting here going through these, I was like, don't they already have a spinoff of this? Am I wrong? Like,
yeah, they did. Oh, I don't know why I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, I
never, it's not going anymore, though, is it?
I don't know. I'm not for sure. I guess it would probably be on that same night if it was. That's
what I would assume, but...
So then they decided to do this, which I thought was a really cool story in that the mom from Black-ish is biracial and she's always been sort of like a hippie character. And like they would
find out she grew up in a cult. Right. Like they tell you that in the preview and I'm like, oh my God, I did not know that.
They've always kind of alluded to like some fucked up childhood of hers. Right. So mm-hmm. you never really kind of knew. So this is all her backstory and, I thought it was really cool. Mark Paul Gosselaar is her dad. So that's...
I like that.
That's pretty great. And it's set in the 80s. And, you know, I just thought it looked really awesome. And I thought the kid actors that they had in the trailer were really funny. So I kind of want to watch it, you know. And that's on ABC. Mm-hmm. And very few network TV shows make it on my rotation. And that is
true. It's usually me doing a lot of the talking when we're talking NBC, ABC, yeah, Fox.
For sure. But I am interested in that show.
There was one on that night that I never saw the preview for. It's Bless This Mess. All I know about it is it's supposed to be something about like ranch/farm living. It's not real. It's like it's a drama and it's got Dax Shepard. So it was like Dax Shepard, I might be here for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but I need to know more. Hmm. He's funny.
Another one on that night that I watched the trailer for and was sort of into a show on ABC called Emergence.
Yes. I was like, oh my God, if she doesn't mark this one.
It looked pretty sci-fi.
Alien, very alien.
Kind of, possibly. Maybe a little alien vibe.
Maybe.
Some sort of, like mutant, maybe.
I definitely got some X-Files vibes.
Yeah,
from that.
It felt sort of X-Files-y.
And the main character that, correct me if I'm wrong, is she like the sheriff or the detective or something?
She always plays a cop on pretty much anything that I've
Well, she was the main character on, remember the one with the dog? Where the dog didn't actually like talk,
right,
but you
yes.
heard his thoughts and she was the owner. She was, and that like me and Susan both watched and loved and then they just like you never heard anything else about it. That was her.
Allison Tolman.
She's adorable.
Yeah, I love her.
She's adorable. So I was excited. Sci-fi vibes with an actress I'm already familiar with, and I like her acting style. Like, I like how she presents on screen. So, I'm here for it.
Yep. All right, what about on Wednesday, the 25th?
Wednesday is actually pretty, for me. So, Wednesday will probably be a catch-up day. Single Parents is back.
Modern Family. Hysterical. Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire's good. I mean, we can, it's not light as in what comes on. It's light for me. Mm-hmm. Now, did you watch the Stump Town?
I did.
Kind of ABC?
I did. That was a very surprising trailer.
Yes.
Because I didn't know what this was. I just went into it cold.
I didn't, right.
And there's these two guys. It looks like they're stealing a car. And then Sweet Caroline comes on the radio, or they put it in or some shit. And anyway, then there ensues a fight scene in a car set to Sweet Caroline.
Where Colby Smulders comes out of the trunk, breaks herself out of the trunk, to beat the crap out of these two guys.
Yeah, it was not expected at all for a ABC, you know.
And I'm like, pilot. I don't know what this is, but Chloe Zoller's just kicked some ass.
She was pretty badass.
I'm gonna give it a yellow.
Yeah, I was. That was pretty good. That's probably the best trailer that I saw out of all of them. But yeah, Colby is funny because
I love her. I adore her.
She's kind of real hit or miss for me. Like How I Met Your Mother, Colby is probably peak Colby for me. But
listen. I do really like Maria Colby though. I do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty, like, dry, but...
Right. But, I mean, you kind of expect Maria Hill to just be, like, dry, so... I will say, on that night, I'm going to bring back my hashtag of, why the fuck is it still on TV?
Which
one? 90 minutes of Survivor.
Oh, Survivor.
I'm going to beat my head into this keyboard.
Hey, people love that show.
I'm sorry, it's on, like, season, like, 50,000. Like, I don't...
Oh, like...
I just,
like Supernatural?
Like, how many times... Hush your face! Hey, it's their final season. Like, it's happening. I've cried. Yep. It's happening. But no, like, I just want to be like, how many times can half-naked people stab each other in the back and eat bugs?
A long, long time.
Apparently, that is highly entertaining. But whatever.
The Goldbergs also come back that night.
Funny show.
It's Always Sunny comes back that night.
But I did not see any preview for it at all.
I didn't either.
So I don't know why it wasn't available with it being such an early season, but that's on ABC. Like right there in the block with single parents, so maybe it'll be funny.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Crank Yankers, which is not a show that I knew had a fifth season, but it's coming back for a fifth season.
I don't know why I thought it was canceled.
Yeah, it's been canceled for a long time. So.
So it got canceled and brought back.
I'm not sure about the production history, but I know it hasn't been on TV in a while.
I have to look that.
It's on Comedy Central, and I did watch the little trailer for it. It does look pretty fucking funny. That's like one of those, like, if I'm high late at night type shows. I will probably put that on and giggle to myself.
Sorry, it hurts.
Because I saw some really good guest people in there, like Tiffany Haddish, who I love. So I think that might be worth a watch.
I may be confusing Crank Yankers with another one. It's puppets, not puppets.
Yes, cartoon. It's puppets, yeah.
Is it puppets and people, or just puppets?
I think it's just puppets.
Okay. I could not remember to save my life.
Which, you know, it's 2019 and we're doing puppet shows. I mean, that's fine. You know, anything goes at this point.
It works.
Might as well. On Thursday, the 26th, I had a couple things here.
I know that you and I both have some of the same things.
We have Superstore, I'm sure.
Yes!
Can't wait.
Very much so.
That is one of the few network shows that has hung around for me because it's really, really good and really funny. Kind of had a cliffhanger. As per usual on the finale. About Mateo, so we'll see what happens with him. Can't wait. Super excited for it. Also on that night, so there was a couple of weird things.
Okay. Go for it. I got several marked as possibles and maybes and all kinds of stuff.
So on NBC, a show called Perfect Harmony.
I marked that as a yellow.
It grabbed my attention because, number one, it has Bradley Whitfield in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just talking about him last night on another podcast. So I think Bradley Whitford is really, really good. And then the premise of it reminded me strongly of Pitch Perfect meets Mr. Holland's Opus, if mm-hmm. you've ever seen that.
Very much so.
Which I adore, both of those movies. So it was just like, it felt really like odd.
It did.
But not.
But it was, it looked like it would be like.
Not in a bad way, but just.
Right.
It's
like
different.
You're probably going to get like drama, but more like funny comedy drama, like you get from like Superstore and stuff.
Right, more funny than drama, and which is good, I think. And you know, it's not a medical show or a cop show,
which
or,
there's a lot of. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
yeah,
there's a lot of these different things, but this feels pretty unique. So I wouldn't mind watching it. It has. What's her face from Pitch Perfect?
I was about to ask you, what is her name? Like, it just evaded me.
Anna? I don't remember.
No.
No? Okay.
Hang on. I'll look it up while we keep on going.
And so at first I thought, because it's about an a cappella group mm-hmm. and she's in it, I was like, is this some sort of weird, like, crossover?
Well, it looks like she comes to this guy who's, like, renowned musician something or another and is like, we want to win this choir competition. We need help. But they can't all, like, sing. They can actually all sing, but they need help. Mm-hmm. And so she goes to him for help. Let's see. Former Princeton music professor unexpectedly stumbles into choir practice in small-town church and finds a group of singers who are out of tune in more ways than one. But they really can sing. It looks like they're marking it as a half-hour comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Anna Camp.
Anna Camp. I knew it was Anna.
Yeah. You were saying Anna, and I thought you were meaning Anna Kendrick. And for some reason, I did not think her name was Anna Camp. I was like, wrong Anna, wrong Anna. And there are other people that, like, if you see their face, you're like, oh, I know him. But, like, for me to say the name, mm-hmm. you probably wouldn't know who they were.
The other show that I... well, actually, there were a couple. Sunnyside is the other one that I thought looked really great.
I did mark that one as a yellow as well as a maybe.
It's on NBC. It has Cal Penn in it, who I love, love, love. And it was sort of the same kind of thing because it looked like a bunch of people who needed to get their green card or something like that. Like,
right.
And they needed a teacher to teach them so they could pass their test, I guess, citizenship.
That's what I'm understanding.
So anyway, I think that's very topical.
Oh yeah.
And it was a very diverse group of cast there. So that's good. It looked really funny. There was like a brother and sister.
Oh yes. Those two, I was like, what is going on here? And you're pretty sure that their father is in the Yakuza, but they never actually say it. And you're
like super rich, right?
Right.
But they can't buy their, citizenship. So they have to take this class or whatever.
And don't they make joke in the preview something about like, oh, dad would just kill them.
Yeah.
Or have them taken care of or something, and I'm like, pretty sure your dad is in the Yakuza, but okay.
It looked
funny.
Really cool. Yeah.
NBC's good at bringing the funny, I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. What else did you have on that night?
I had Carol's Second Act on CBS as a green, like, maybe. It was a green, like, I'm definitely going to give it a try, but, you know. So
that's the one with the older lady who went to back to medical school.
Patricia Heaton. It has Jean-Luc. I always butcher his name, but he was from the show that I've talked about in prior things. They ended it on Freeform, where he was like super young, and he was. Oh, I can't even think of the name of it. I've talked about it like 1,000 times. I was really sad that they ended it. Remember? Because I was like, well, we had this whole discussion about like what constitutes good ratings versus bad ratings. Like, how do they decide if you've only, so anyway, he's in it. Ashley Tisdale's in it. Kyle MacLachlan. And she's already raised, she's 50. She's raised her children. She's got divorced, because I guess he like cheated on her with their therapist or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
So instead of like giving up, she's like, you know what? I'm going to start over. And she decides to pursue her dream of becoming a doctor. So she's the oldest medical intern. And this is, it's more like a comedy. Mm-hmm. And she shows up, and John Luke and Ashley Tisdale and all of them are the other like interns. And they think she is the attending coming to like tell them what to do. Cause she's like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so ready for the day. And they're like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And it turns out like she's an intern with them. And they're like, what? And you see in, there was a couple of different previews that they like mushed together, and she apparently becomes like the mom of the group. And like, one of them is like, why can't I get a date, or why didn't this date work out? And she gives him like advice. And, apparently Kyle MacLachlan is a doctor that she may or may not have love interest happens with. So it just looked like a really cute, you know, starting over sort of like, thing. You know, we always say coming of age. It's such a coming of age show. Well, why not a starting over show? Why not like a, you know, coming of age at 50? So I thought it was just kind of cute. Mm-hmm. It's going to fall into that same thing as like the Sunny Side we mentioned, or Bob Hart's Out of Sheila. It's going to be the funny like that, or like how Two Broke Girls were. Serious moments, but funny.
Right.
And the same night, also on CBS, is The Unicorn. Which, that's the single dad that his wife had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been gone for maybe a year or two. And, like, the joke is the kids are still eating, like, freezer food that people brought.
For the,
like, the freezer casseroles and stuff. Right? And so, his friends are like, you've got a date, you've got a date, you've got a date. And his daughters are even like, oh, my God, you've got to date. But he's just like, really weird. And they call him the unicorn because essentially like he would rather stay home and hang out, and he would rather, so like he has his priorities in check. He has like his finances in check, and he has all this stuff, and he has like so much to offer someone. So like at our age or at his age, he's like a unicorn because it's like exactly what someone would be looking for, but he doesn't even realize he's being hit on or that he's like,
clueless.
Right. He's completely clueless. And the preview was just really cute and funny and endearing. And I thought, like, well, it'll probably be, like, a 30-minute episode. That'd be something cute to, like, you know, just turn on your Friday night when you're, like, folding your clothes and watch and, you know, maybe have a moment. You might, you know, get emotional. But mm-hmm. for the most part, it'd just be cute and, like, a little different. We really don't have anything like that on.
And Walter Goggins is the lead role in
He's the unicorn.
Right, so that's very different and against type from what mm-hmm. he usually does, so I think that's right. Cool.
Returnings that I'll definitely be watching, Mom, which Mom has brought up some. They are a funny comedy, but in the past couple of years, they've really hit, like, really hard topics, and it's been really good. I'd say definitely recommend if you've never watched it, for sure. Allison Jennings and Anna Faris are hysterical and are a great mother-daughter team on, because they play mother and daughter. They're fantastic. They do a great job. And then Good Place, which apparently they always knew had like a beginning, middle, and end. So this is the final season of The Good Place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I'm sad to see that go. It forking sucks, but you can't say.
Nice,
yeah. So, it sucks. It's Kristen Bell, Ted Danson. I don't know. There's a lot more. Again, you'd know their faces, not their name. You know Kristen Bell and Ted Danson. They're great together. It's adorable. I watched their panel from Comic-Con about their next season, and they were just so great. That I'm really sad to see it go, but I feel like for what they have alluded to, it's going to give you an ending where you feel as satisfied as you can be.
Well, that does suck, but, the other thing I was going to mention that night was on CBS, which might kill it for me, because I just can't stand a CBS show for the most part. It's a show called Evil, and...
Yes! I did mark that one.
The reason this appeals to me is because it is sort of paranormal, and it's also sort of psychological. Yes. It has Mike Coulter in it from Luke Cage, who I think looks really good. Yeah. And he's like a priest, I think, in this, or so an investigator for the Catholic Church at the very least. So he and a psychologist are trying to figure out in from case to case what is paranormal and what is like mental illness. And or
from what I gathered, he actually does believe and as the priest. He does, he's like, really, you don't believe in paranormal? Like, he does. And that she's completely skeptical and like, it's not real, like, it's not a thing. Like, why would you even believe that? You're a priest. I thought, you know, for sure.
So, you know, it looked interesting enough to check out. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though it's on CBS. Anything else that night?
No, it looks like Thursdays and Tuesdays are heavy. I'll just be honest. Thursdays and Tuesdays are heavy, right now. So we'll see. Something may fall off. May fall off.
All right. Moving on to Friday night, the 27th, what I saw here was a show on Netflix called The Politician.
I did not watch the preview for that one. Okay. I have to admit.
It was...
Maybe I did, I don't remember, so go for it.
It looked pretty dark because it's a teen drama type thing where... The guy, the main character, is running for a school office, I think, and...
This already sounds like something I would watch.
Yeah, so it gave me feelings of, you know that movie that Reese Witherspoon was in called Election?
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of that.
Okay.
And so, like, kind of dark and not these people aren't super great people. You know what I mean?
Okay. Gotcha.
And Gwyneth Paltrow is in it. Trying to see. Ben Platt is the main character.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, it looks worth a shot. It, executive produced by Ryan Murphy. So,
well, I mean, he does usually put on some pretty good stuff, so definitely watch the first episode or two. Sometimes it takes a couple episodes before you can make a determination, but okay. I'm going to mark that one.
I'm trying to, there was another character that I wanted to... Oh, Jessica Lange is in it.
Oh, okay. So, and she's normally a American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. She's also not going to be in this season, but she has taken breaks before, so from American Horror Story, so. And she may be in this season, I don't know.
I might have misspoke. I assumed it was a high school, but it might not be.
Okay. Maybe he's just really young.
Yeah, it might be. It looks like high school to me, but okay.
We shall see.
All right. Anything else on that night that you want to talk about?
I know we have a lot of listeners that really enjoy things like 2020 and Dateline. So obviously those are still kicking, guys. I had to back off on the Dateline because, you know, I told Jenny this, but, you know, like, my husband's overseas right now. And my son and I left one night to get ice cream about a month or so ago, or maybe it was 2 months ago. And, like, there's these people walking down the road at night. And, okay, it's summer in southern Alabama, so of course you walk at night because it's way less fucking hot. Mm-hmm. But in my brain, I'm like, who are these people I've never seen before walking down the road? Mm-hmm. And I'm getting all, like, suspicious, and I'm like, back off the investigation, Discovery, Miranda. No more Dateline for a while. Okay. But if you're really into, and we do, we have a lot of listeners and friends that are listeners that really enjoy like true crime stories or like watching like after the fact, like how the person was prosecuted, if they were prosecuted. So Dateline returns for all your crime needs. Yep.
I love it. Do you have any crime needs on for the rest of the month there? It looks like Saturday Night Live comes back on the 28th.
Why is this not on my calendar?
It's on mine. I actually forgot to write it down, but I just noticed it was on there.
I wonder if they updated after I printed, because I printed mine's been printed and highlighted for a while.
Yeah, I just printed this today, so that's possible.
Oh, okay, probably, because there's a few that I'm like, I didn't know about this. So, yeah, because they do update it. I will say, so if, like, you want to print your own, you may even find things that you're like, well, they didn't mention that. Well, no, smartass, because they updated frequently.
Sorry. And I just saw today that Leslie Jones is not coming back to SNL. So that kind of sucks.
But I want to say I remember them announcing someone. Oh, so one episode coming, like, pretty quickly into October, David Harbour gave a, if you don't know how the board at SNL works, you probably wouldn't know, but he posted on his Instagram his name, and I forget the card underneath him. So at SNL, when they post pictures or to tell you who's going to be, like, the special guest, they'll have, like, a day. So I want to say it was October 12th that he's going to make a guest appearance. So David Harbour, who is our, like, we love him so much, Hopper, on Stranger Things, he posted on his Instagram, it said October 12th, and then under that was a postcard that said David Harbour, and then under that was the postcard of the female person, probably the singer.
Camila Cabello.
Yeah, okay, so, and she's going to be the musical guest that night. So, like, I thought that was pretty cool. I knew what that meant immediately. And people was like, what does this mean? And I'm like, it means he's going to be on Saturday Night Live. Come on, get your shit together.
And that premiere episode on the 28th is hosted by Woody Harrelson with Billie Eilish.
Oh, wow. Billie Eilish, by the way, if you've never listened to Billie Eilish, she is badass boss babe.
Hell yeah.
Love her. Love her.
All right. What's next?
Sunday the 29th.
Let's see. I watched the trailer for this Bless the Hearts animated show on Fox, and I was not impressed.
I was not impressed either.
It did not look funny to me.
Season 31 of The Simpsons.
31. Wow.
No copyrights. Don't sue us, Matt Groening. my son, you know, has begged me for years to watch The Simpsons, and I've always been like, you can watch the Treehouse of Horror episodes, but you're not watching anything else, because I'm a helicopter mom, and that shit ain't happening. So, last year was season 30, he was 12, just turned 13, so I was like, you know what, there's a lot that's still going to go over his head. If he has questions, it's time where, like, bring on the fucking questions. Mm-hmm. So he and I actually watched all of season 30 together. And he loved every stinking minute of it. So we will be watching season 31. And honestly, I had gone, like, years where I'd, like, catch it here and there. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, my childhood all over again. Because I watched a lot of Simpsons growing, like, a lot. My mom swears up and down, no, you did not. I didn't have a shoe like that. This is the lady that went Black Friday shopping before it got real big and stood in line at Best Buy as the first person. So when their door opened, she could buy me the complete, at that time, Treehouse of Horrors collection on DVD. So she swears that she didn't allow me to watch it. But I was called Lisa by my uncle, as a nickname, and I dressed as Lisa multiple years for Halloween. So, I'm just saying. But yeah, so it was really cool to now feel comfortable enough to, like, be like, hey, let's watch this. And he loved it, and he has favorite people. And then when we went to do our Universal trip that I talked about that we went on back in, what, April, March, something like that, he bought, like, all the plush versions. So they look like Funko Pops, but they're plushies. Mm-hmm. So they're, like, cutesy. They look a little bit different than they do on the cartoon. He bought all of them. We spent so much time in Simpson Land. It was fantastic. So I really love that I have something that I can, like, share with him again. Like,
That's great.
So excited for season 31, and I never thought I'd say that, really, to be honest. But, like, I'm really excited for it to come back on, because that's, like, we record it on Sunday night, and then we watch it on Monday night. Because it does come on at 8, and we're, like, possibly still eating or brushing teeth and taking baths and stuff like that so he can be in bed. Mm-hmm. He's real excited. He got his bedtime pushed back this year because you're a teenager now. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't have to go to bed until 9.
Wow, that's awesome.
We still start getting ready at 8:15 because you have to do the brush your teeth.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, yeah, we record it on Sunday night, and then on Monday night we watch it while we're eating dinner.
Cool.
So that's our thing. Godfriended me. Update, I don't think I gave anybody because Jenny and I haven't been able to record. Excellent TV show, regardless of your religious feelings.
Really?
Yes. Turned out to be excellent. I love the feel good. It's a drama. So there's, I cried many episodes. But they, like the feel good that you get from this and like, I don't know, it's a fantastic show, fantastic cast. And then there's another NCIS, which I'm going to be honest, I'm still way behind on because Sunday Night Football always foobars that one up.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, way back and screws me over. So, I'm not, like, done with that NCIS because that's where my sweet, sweet people are. Jenny's going to make fun of me. She's like, oh, God, he's not cute. Yes, he is!
I didn't say anything. Don't
anyway.
Accuse me of things.
I did not see a preview for Godfather of Harlem. It's on Epix.
Yeah,
did you?
No, I didn't either.
And so
I get that channel anyway.
Oh, that's right. You have like a,
I have YouTube TV.
I did look up and it does have Forrest Whitaker, as like the main. So I was like, that might be. It's 1960s crime boss Bumpy Johnson returns from 10 years ago. So, Chris Whitaker's going to be known as Bumpy Johnson.
Bumpy Johnson.
Probably not how you say it. I just, for some reason, want to go real country when that happens.
That's a terrible name.
Well, in the
60s. Don't you hate it when you get a Bumpy Johnson, you know?
Oh, God. Yeah, I see what you're saying now. but apparently he used to rule the neighborhood and now it's in shambles and the streets controlled by the Italian mob. So he has to kind of like take on this crime family to regain control of his neighborhood.
Wow. All right.
Huh. Okay. Oh, it's a TV prequel to the 2007 film American Gangster.
Oh, I don't think I saw that.
I did. Don't remember everything, but I do remember watching it. Hmm. I watched it with Jerry. Yeah. So, that might be one that I feel like people that listen, there's several people that listen to us, I feel might be interested in that. Okay. So I'm glad I looked it up.
Maybe yeah. I'll hunt down a trailer for that one.
I will.
All right. So I think this is a good spot to take a break. Before we get into October. What do you think?
October is a heavy CW, but I still think break would be good. Okay. I don't know how long we've been talking for these people.
Like an hour and 20 minutes.
My jaw could
use a
moment.
Yeah. Well, let's do that and give Miranda a chance to rest her face. And then we will be right back to continue our fall TV preview. Stick around.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. My jaw is better. Woo-hoo. You already know us. If you're here, you know us, like, at this point. But Jenny and Miranda, we're back. We're back. And we are currently on our fall TV extravaganza. No, you don't get the funny voice again. Episode.
Dang it.
I'm going to save it for segments that you know are coming.
That's true. Yes, good idea.
So, as always, a lovely new staple to our PTBN shows, any of our shows, we have a few, like, points we'd like to make. We want you to check out all of our shows. So, just to give you a little bit of background or and information on what's going on around the world of Place to Be Nation here. So, our favorite dudes over at the Hard Traveling Fanboys have reviewed The Boys Volume 1 by Garth Ennis. And it's Darick, right?
Darick Robertson?
Okay. Yeah. I always feel bad when I say people's names wrong. You guys know that. And it's this in this month's edition of The Long Book Hunters. And then, of course, DC4U, Russell and Todd, have concluded Justice League Month with a hilarious hijinks found in network TV special from 1979, Legends of the Superheroes, The Roast. I have not listened to that yet, but I really like it, really want to. It sounds funny.
It does.
This is an inaugural sports edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back. Our good friend Andy is joined by the Cowboy, Roger Morsett, of course, Scott Scolo, and Peter Winston, to look forward and preview the upcoming NFL season. If you're like me and you're a Bears fan, which means you're ready to already suffocate yourself with a pillow. But I digress. So they're also going to look back and analyze the most recent seasons of NBA and NHL as well. So if you are a sports fan like myself, I highly recommend this show. It's fantastic. Of course, Andy, like Jenny, who, you know, I've dubbed them, like, king and queen of Place to Be Nation, because every time you turn on a pod, like, they're on it. So, Andy, again, this time, and over on A Year in Pop, returns with Scott, being joined, you have Georged them, and our good friend, D'Amato, to discuss news, sports, and pop culture of 1977. So, a very specific year, very interesting there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our friend David. I always say our friend, but, like, guys, everybody here really is like a family. Sometimes yes. We don't get... I always love all of you. I might not always like all of you at any given moment. The same way I feel about my husband. Like, I always love him. Sometimes I don't like him. So, you know, anyway. Yes, they really are. We really are like a big family. I know you hear me and Jenny say that all the time, but we really are. So, our other friend, David Sunday, over on Sunday Groove, has a guest, his guest Andy, different Andy, to discuss personal desert island discs. What would be your desert island disc, Jenny?
Oh, Lord. I was not expecting that question. Fuck if I know.
I was not expecting to ask that question. Hands down, no questions asked, the first No Doubt album.
You know, that was the first thing that popped in my mind, Tragic Kingdom.
And this is why Jenny is my best friend.
Yep.
And, of course, over on our current episode of Marvel Age, which... I think today, as in, like, today while we're recording, just dropped our favorite Sarcastic Four take a concentrated look at roughly a third, as they say, of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year of 1972. So that's a lot of content that they're going through at one time. Mm-hmm. So check them out. And there's a reason we call them Sarcastic Four, if you've never heard them before. I would like to encourage all of you to continue following our greatest Song of the 80s tournament. It is continuing. It is, of course, narrowing down. There are 4 polls a day at this point posted for round 3. You can get in on this action. You can either search Facebook, PTBN's greatest Song of the 80s tournament, and like the page. Of course, it's on Twitter as well. I want to clarify, because we've had lots and lots of questions of what if something ties. So here's how this works. The main voting is done on Facebook. If something ties, we go over to the Twitter and they add them up together. If there's still at that point is a tie, there is a panel. It is a group. It is not all members of Place to Be Nation. It is a small group of people from Place to Be Nation that are part of the song tournament panel. They're also the ones that, like, help narrow down nominations. Yeah. They did do nominations themselves. And if there's a tie, we we vote, the people in that panel, to decide who moves forward and is the actual winner of debt. So I've noticed Andy having to answer that question over and over a lot over on the 80s tournament page, so I thought I'd just, like, throw that out there for your ears. It is a great tournament, very similar to the Candy tournament that Jenny and I live voted on an episode. Mm-hmm. And if you really enjoy these, there will be other tournaments to come up. I don't remember some of the ideas that were spit around, but it is definitely going to continue even after our 80s tournament concludes.
Hey, do you want to talk about today's voting and see where everybody lands on this?
Yeah, sure. I'll sign up because I already voted for the day, but it will show you. And that's the other cool thing. Once you voted, it'll show you. And you can change your mind, but, I mean, if they've already counted the vote, then your change doesn't count.
Like, all right. So, for the first one, we have Limelight by Rush versus Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. And I always vote for Def Leppard, so.
Def Leppard here, too.
That's what I did.
Def Leppard, all the way, hands down, no questions asked. Clip,
yep,
easy clip.
Master of Puppets by Metallica versus She Drives Me Crazy by the Fine Young Cannibals. I went Metallica on this one.
I went She Drives Me Crazy.
It's close on Twitter anyway, 55-45. So that seems right. With Metallica winning so far on Twitter. Not sure about Facebook.
I'm looking now, actually.
And on the next matchup, we have Give Me All Your Lovin' by ZZ Top versus Bust a Move by Young MC. And I went with Bust a Move.
This, honestly, was hard. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not even going to lie. Like, some of these are super hard. Before I tell you what I voted, because right now I'm questioning what I chose. So I'm, like, getting this, like, horrible Southern Alabama internet to
Hashtag Southern internet.
Right.
Give Me All Your Lovin' is winning that one on Twitter, too.
Yeah, it's winning on Facebook as well, and I did vote for Give Me All Your Lovin'. I remember really, like, over that. Like, yeah.
The last one is Jack and Diane from John Cougar, I think he was at the time. I don't know.
Yeah, he wasn't John Cougar Mellencamp. He was just John Cougar.
Versus West End Girls by the Pet Shop Boys. I think I went West End Girls just because I love that song. And
I went Jack and Diane because I remember loving that, like, girl when I was younger. Like, I loved it. And that's how I make my decision. Like, you can make your decision however you want. But, like, the one that I, like, if I have a memory attached to it or, like, maybe there's been a few of these I'm like, I don't remember that. Like, I should know that. And then what's really cool on Facebook, I don't know about Twitter, you can help answer this, but, like, on Facebook, if you go to the comments, usually the first two comments are links to YouTube for you to, like, watch
the video, Twitter.
Or, you know, or hear the song. And then a lot of times, like, it only gets off, like, the first few beats, and I'm like, oh, yeah! So that is pretty cool, kind of, like, a look back, and, you know, especially if you have, like, a memory attached to it, to any of these. So.
All right. On the wrestling feed, so many shows over there, on the Place to Be podcast, JT Scott and Peter Winston take a look at the last Saturday night's main event from 1989. Ben Zanny has a football themed episode of Row One Seat One with a pair of guests to discuss the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. On episode 3 of Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, D'Amato, and I run down the entire month of ECW Hardcore TV following the night the line was crossed.
Please explain this name to me, because, you know, I very seldom get to go over to that side of our feed. Extreme Three-Way Dance.
Yeah, so ECW is like a wrestling promotion.
Okay.
That was sort of kind of wild, right? So it a lot of it is just raw and, like, bloody and chaotic, and the fans are rabid, and it's just a very, very different vibe from wrestling that I've seen in WWE or even WCW. So it's
okay.
We started sort of chronologically, so like they kind of decided that early 1994 was right when the promotion started kind of like getting popular, and you know, they had a lot of named wrestlers and things like that. So
okay.
That's when we started, and we're basically watching all of it. So all of the TV, and then all of their special events, pay-per-views, which they're not called pay-per-views yet, I don't guess. But anyway, I'm just learning about the promotion as I go, and it's wild, really.
Okay.
Some of the craziest shit I've seen so far. On episode number 7 of You Don't Know Billy Jack, Drew introduces Jordan to some Japanese wrestlers that I can't pronounce from June 5th of 1989. I would not even attempt to announce this, which I think Andy did the other night when we were reading this, so I should have paid attention to that. On PlaceBeNation.com, our tribute to 1994 continues to roll on with lots of great content. Every Wednesday, we have the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's weekly walk around the web. You can also check out our social media pages and message board at Bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project so that you can start researching your list, because time is running out for that. So you'll have to have your 100 greatest list done in a couple months. So good luck with that.
Oh, goodness. This sounds like work.
It is work. I'm telling you. It is. A lot of matches were nominated for that. So, all right. Let's get back to TV, shall we?
TV. We shall.
All right. Starting October 1st. We talked a little bit off air about what I saw listed here on October 1st, and it's called Sorry for Your Loss, and it said Facebook, and I did not know what that meant, so I just moved along. What is up? Facebook has TV shows now?
Yes, so Facebook has TV. There's one that I was following for a while that I didn't, like, hey, I didn't stop watching it because I disliked it. I think, like, the end of whatever their season had ended. And then because it's Netflix, you just don't think to go back.
Mm-hmm.
But they have lots of stuff that you can go over there and watch. And you can save videos. And you can – they have actual, like, TV shows now, kind of like YouTube does. So I remember briefly seeing a preview for this, like, as an ad – mm-hmm. on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
But I don't remember what it's about or anything. But yeah, so if you also weren't aware, Facebook has television shows now.
You know, and now that we've talked about this and my phone is sitting there, I bet you the next time I pull up Facebook, there will be an ad for this show on my feed. Because
very true.
They're listening.
Because that's how your FBI agent rolls.
That's how that happens. So, sorry about it.
I say all the time. Because, you know, I'll watch a preview or I'll see an ad for something. I'll be like, oh, that's cool. I need to remember that. And then, like, I'll forget about it because obviously that's what we do as humans. We forget about it. We're trying to do, like, 5 things at once. And then, like, 3 days later, I'll be scrolling Facebook or Instagram, and there it is. And I'm like, you get me, FBI agent. Thanks for remembering what I cannot.
It will even get to the point where, like, I'll search for something on Amazon and then see it show up in my Facebook.
Yeah, and then it's on – It's in my stuff. Yeah it's very, it's like, sometimes it's frustrating, though. Like, I'm going to be honest. And then other times I'm like, thank you for reminding me.
Because then if you click on one thing, then everything that's related to that thing also shows up on your feed.
Except for ads from Wish. Those things make no sense.
Yeah, I don't
know.
No sense. None. I'm assuming there's bots attached to that, so I have to stay away from Wish. Like, no thanks.
I don't know. I've purchased things from Wish and never had a problem. So, like, the people that are like, oh, you get your identity stolen. I've never had a problem. I've just noticed friends screenshotting the ads that get sent to them on Facebook through Wish. And they're, like, comical. Comical.
Yeah,
it's like,
oh, yeah. They're weird. Totally weird.
Yeah. See, where people are like, you could end up clicking on it because you're like, what is that? And then you regret cooking on it. So, there's that. Yeah, there's that.
Moving on to October the 2nd. This is Wednesday night.
I'm actually really excited about something on this one.
Okay, which one?
Two things. So, believe it or not, I am really excited about this All Elite Wrestling.
Are you?
I am.
I did not expect you to say that.
Well, you know, I actually, years ago, was a wrestling fan. Like, I did watch. I won't say names because it makes Jenny cringe. But Jenny's, like, favorite person. I say that sarcastically, obviously. Were truly my favorite person. Seen him live. Like, used to go to the matches when they'd come to Nashville. Like, the cage things. Like, I was here for it. And my son really likes it. Of course, there's no question. I'm sure everybody could take one guess at who my son adores. Because it's pretty much any kid his age adores him. And the man is pretty awesome. But anyway, so I watched the preview for this because it's an all new thing. So you don't have to know the backstory of this person used to be married to this person and they're this person's daughter and he called her a whore backstage and you don't have to know any of that because that's where my hang up is that there is a story and a I don't say soap opera rudely. But, there's a story and a soap opera and a whole production that goes with wrestling that is just as much as part of the show as the actual fight is.
For sure.
That I feel like if you're jumping in, it's hard. And if you've stepped away for years, I'm talking after I watched it in high school and then, after high school, I didn't have cable, couldn't afford it, did all these things, didn't watch a lot of stuff. And you kind of, fell out of the loop. And then the next thing you know, you don't know any of these wrestlers. So I just kind of, never went back. I'll watch it. Jenny and I have sat here and watched it at my house together. I've watched it with her at her house. I'm cool. But I'm excited about this one because it's, all new. It's, a whole new gang of, people you've never heard of. And I may get into this and be like, okay, and I don't like it. But I don't know. It just seemed kind of cool.
They've had events already, and they're having a show this weekend. So you should watch that, and that will help.
And I did see that their headquarters is in Jacksonville, so that made me hopeful that this could be something that maybe we could go to.
Yeah, I was actually in Jacksonville for Ethan's surgery when they were there doing a show, and I didn't get to go to it. But I'm super, super excited for All Elite Wrestling. I think that it will be nice change of pace, and hopefully there will be some good stories coming out of it, and there will be some risk-taking and some really good physical matches. So I'm totally, totally down for it.
I'm excited, and I'm going to be honest, something I'll discuss more in something we're going to talk about in a minute, but I may actually be willing to come and watch at least a couple of matches WWE because of a specific wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not a man either. Not a man. I learned some information about this young lady and yeah. Okay. Anyway.
All
right. Let's finish these TV shows. But yes, I'm super excited about it. I think I knew you would be. So I was like, oh, bad. Dang it. I bet you Jenny has this one. I don't know. I don't, and you may know more backstory wise and all of that. Am I hallucinating or did I read an article that CM Punk is coming into this one? There are names we already know coming into the AEW.
Yeah. CM Punk is going to be at StarCast this weekend, which is, the con that's affiliated with it. But,
I may have misread that. Maybe that's what it was about. Yeah. I may have misread. That's why I was asking.
So it's sort of cliche at this point where if you're involved with Conrad Thompson, who runs StarCast, then more than likely you're going to end up with a new job in wrestling. So I think CM Punk can do whatever the fuck he wants to do, really.
Pretty much. I don't know. I was looking over this, and it looks like there's some names that I would already know, but, it's brand new, so.
Yeah, I mean, they have wrestlers from other promotions.
Right.
So,
which happen. So I'm kind of excited to see where this goes.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I think so. I think it'll be another thing that Caden and I can share too, because he's not like super into it, but he thinks it's funny and he likes to watch it every now and then. So we'll see where his attention span goes with this.
Can't wait to see what you think.
I know. And then Almost Family on Fox, the premise, the concept is what caught my attention. And again, it's faces that you know. And it kind of surprised me that this was a Fox. This felt like, I don't know, it honestly felt like an ABC show. The idea behind it, at least. And it's Brittany Snow. So Emily Osment, Brittany Snow, Timothy Hutton.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know. The one girl, her face looked familiar, but I didn't. It's Megalyn Ishiwar. Yeah, I'm not even going to try to go there. But everybody knows Brittany, so pretty much everybody knows Emily Osment. She's another one that was on a show that got canceled on Freeform that I used to watch pretty regularly. But the whole thought is that Brittany Snow, she's an only child who finds her life kind of turned upside down when her father reveals a prize-winning career. He's a fertility doctor, so prize-winning. He's actually been using his sperm to conceive almost 100 children. So people that were having a really, really hard time, or they wanted smart sperm. People say that, when you when you purchase, he used his own. Or he would find families that the man's would not work, so he'd use his. And just whatever.
And so the real vibe that I got from that from the trailer was he was trying to justify,
He is in the trailer trying to justify it, and she basically I think he goes to jail, does he not? And
that was
talking to him in jail, or he's being arrested or something. And I'm really interested to see what his justification is for this, but this is something that's actually been in the media. This has happened several times. Coming from this realization, she realizes, I'm
she
not an only
brothers
child.
And sisters.
Right. I have brothers, I have sisters, and I guess there's a girl that they were. I can't tell from the preview, and the synopsis doesn't give you a great understanding if they were either friend. I think they were either best friends or because it's one of the girls. It makes mention, and she even says in the preview, because the one I watched was a really long preview. It was 5 or 6 minutes long. Mm-hmm. She was always jealous because her dad came home every. She had a dad because she's a single, this other girl played by the one that I'm going to probably butcher her name. She was the only child of a single mom that worked her ass off to take very good care of her from what I could gather. And she was always jealous of Brittany Snow's character because she got a dad to come home. She had a dad that came home every night. She had a dad that was present in her life. Mm-hmm. And now they're not best friends anymore. And she's actually her sister.
Yeah.
And this one girl's having a really hard time with that. And then the other girl, Emily Osment, you can tell she's free spirit, kind of never settled down anywhere, comes into the fold and is also their sister. And so now they're trying to deal with the aftermath of this. Because can you imagine your face being plastered all over, social media and television and stuff because your biological dad, who you thought either was this person or you never knew existed, never knew who it was, is the man that was your mom's fertility doctor, or he's your dad for real. I can't imagine. So it's them trying to figure out life. Now finding out that they have siblings and they kind of get an untraditional bond. And there's obviously going to be other siblings that come into effect and they're rapidly expanding family, but it's mainly about the three of them and how they deal with this and how obviously the two of them have known each other their whole lives. So it looks interesting. It may not stick around because it is an awkward, odd premise on Fox, but I have it marked as I'm going to see where it goes.
I think there might be too many daddy feelings for me.
It is pretty heavy, and you and I have different situations, but similar in a lot of ways. So I don't know how, you know, I'm going to feel about this one. I may be like, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Did you have anything for the third?
Actually, my calendar is blank. Updated? Was it? Okay. Fourth, Blacklist comes back. Still behind. Still a great show. So there's that.
On the fourth, I had Big Mouth on Netflix. Latest season, which I'm obsessed with that show. So,
and yeah.
For an animated show, it's actually coming back pretty quickly. Because
I know a lot of our friends watch it too.
It's so fucking funny. I mean, it's really great.
I know you and I have had the discussion of why I just cannot seem to get into cartoon shows like that, but I don't know if I've ever said, like, here, maybe? I don't know. It's like, I love Futurama. Mm. I love Simpsons. Disenchanted, which was also... I love those, but I have a really hard time, because I love cartoons. Like, I still watch, like, regular cartoons. Mm-hmm. Like, my son and I found a new one that was on, like, all summer long that we watched, like, the whole thing together. It's hysterical. Like, I adored Phineas and Ferb. And I think it's, like, a disconnect I need. To me, it's almost like I want that cutesy, what am I trying to say? The word just went bloop out of my mind. I kind of want that innocent, cutesy, fun-loving, gentle, lighthearted when I watch a cartoon. And so sometimes my brain, like, I guess it sees the adult funny, very well done, but I think my brain sees that and is like, what the fuck? Like, I think, like, I don't know.
You don't want adult animated content, basically.
Which I don't mind it. And I know people that love it. And I've watched other things and I'm like, oh, that was good. Will you watch it again? No. Like, yeah. It's just a disconnect in my odd brain. Sorry, guys.
No, that's fine. The other thing I wanted to mention is something that I said earlier, and that is that SmackDown is coming to Fox from USA. Changing nights.
When is it changing nights? It is the 4th. Okay, I see that. Right. Yeah.
So on USA, it was on Tuesday nights. Now it's on Friday nights.
So you get a lot of wrestling in 1 week.
Heck yeah.
A lot. Cool. Because it's several hours, too. Like, it's not like a 1 hour. It's usually, like, one. At least one, but one or two.
2 hours, usually.
Okay.
The next one I have is October the 6th. That is Sunday night. Okay, so The Walking Dead comes back on this night.
I want your honest feelings. How do you feel? Do you think it's time for this to be, like, a final season? Are you still happy with it? Where does Jenny currently lie going into this season?
Okay, so going into last season, I was ready to hang it up.
So I remember that.
It got to the point where I was barely paying attention to episodes. I didn't, because it used to be appointment TV, like, on Sunday nights. I was watching The Walking Dead, no matter
what. And you did not text Jenny during that time? She was not on the Facebooks? Yeah,
no,
like,
it's like, you know, and then it kind of fell apart. Like, I didn't care, and I would be like, I'll watch it during the week, and then episodes would pile up. So, something happened, and they turned it around, and it got good, and I was shocked, because I just didn't expect it. And the ending of last season was heartbreaking and brutal and right on par with some of the best stuff I've seen on The Walking Dead. So it was pretty surprising for me. As far as going forward, I don't think I have any choice, because they're doing movies now, right?
You want to follow it through, basically.
Yeah. I mean, like, if it starts sucking, then I'll just start, you know, cutting back on it. But at this point, I'm still going to watch it. There's, you know, the enthusiasm has waned. It's not as big a deal to me as it was. But I don't know. I'm
because you texted me while it was on, last year.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just, we'll see, I guess. That's all I can say.
Huh. Okay.
Did you have anything on that night?
Well, I guess they're going to do, you know how sometimes when something airs, so like these aired on the 29th is like their first time, but they're going to like, they've got them again on the 6th. So I think it's because they're changing time slots.
Oh, okay.
So God Friended Me and NCIS. They'll go from 8:30 to and 9:30 to 8 and 9. So
weird.
Really, that's it. Well, that happens a lot in the beginning because either like Sunday Night Football hasn't started yet.
True. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Or things like that. So Sunday Night Football always takes a toll on anything.
And this over week. There. This week will start all of the CW premieres.
Yes. So
we will save that for.
Yeah. Pretty much the next, unless you have something. So the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th are like.
All CW.
They're like all CW. Do you have anything in between there that is not CW?
Nope. Not a thing. Except for my birthday on October the 8th.
Woo! Woo! Well, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
That is different.
So, the next thing that I had was on October 18th. Did you have anything before the 18th?
I do not. I think going forward, I just have notations for mid-seasons that don't have an actual date yet.
Okay. So, the ones here that I wanted to mention... What I don't have a lot of information on these. I couldn't find very much on these three, but Living With Yourself is a Netflix show featuring Paul Rudd. So, yeah.
Which one is he? Oh. Which one is that?
There wasn't a trailer or anything yet for it. I just saw like an article, and it looks like he's going to be playing dual roles.
Oh, where he's playing himself, like, yes. There's not himself, let me rephrase that. He's, like, there will be two people, they look identical, this happens a lot. Kind of like she did on, like, Orphan Black, where she played, like, seven people.
Right, yeah.
Which, Paul Rudd is a fantastic actor, but it takes a lot to pull off playing more than one person, because you're constantly... So, like, when he's facing the person talking, it'll be, like, a stand-in... Is the back
right,
of their
right.
head
yeah.
that you're seeing, and vice versa. Anyway, so I saw briefly an article about this. I'm with you. Didn't see a preview. Didn't see a date. But I definitely want to see how that plays and how it works out because I've seen it done well, really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Orphan
nomination
Black
worthy. Well.
Yeah.
Orphan Black. Like that's all I'll go back to yeah. every single time.
That's...
And then I've seen it done okay, and then I've seen it suck.
Or
I'm like, why didn't you just pick twins?
I don't think Paul Rudd could suck at anything ever.
No, I don't either. But you know, like, there's a lot that goes into it other than the actor. Mm-hmm. Like, how well are their camera angles? How many times right. do they try to put them where they're both in the shot? You know, things like that. Like, one I remember in particular was a movie. It was a kid's movie, Spiderwick Chronicles. Fantastic book by Tony DiLizzi. And the kid that's one of the main character kids is actually... Good Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
We adore him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, he plays himself and his brother in that. And what really distracted me is very, very seldom are they actually in the same shot. It's always like back ahead face.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that just drives me, that drives me crazy. It really drives me crazy. So that's what I mean by like how well, like, yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to mention is a show on Hulu, which I didn't see. There was sort of a vague trailer, but it didn't really tell me much. But it's based on a book that I loved by John Green.
Such a good author.
Called Looking for Alaska, which was like, and he has several books that were just, I read them, like once I discovered John Green, I just read all of his books. And so a lot of them are fairly similar, but mm-hmm. this one feels... it's a different vibe for me from some of the other of his books, and it's a very interesting concept. I did love the book, so I think this will kind of hinge on on who they get to play Alaska and these kids, which it looked like they did a pretty good job, but then again, I couldn't tell that much, really, from the trailer.
I mean, the books that he has that have been turned into movies have been done fairly well. I mean, they've been, like, low budget, and people are like, oh, sometimes they're even like, I don't even realize that was a movie, but, John Green is considered YA. Yes. Typically, sometimes his stuff, most of the time, his stuff is considered YA romance, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Ha ha! You people that are like, I don't read romance. I just fooled you. But he is a fantastic author. His brother is an author too, and I've never actually read any of his stuff, but they do podcasts together and or YouTube videos together and just different stuff, and they're very smart. Super smart. Mm-hmm. I have Looking for Alaska is one that I thought I'd read. I have not read, but there my favorite two are An Abundance of Catherines.
Oh my god, I love that book.
It came out in like 2006, but I did not read it until several years later. I actually read it. Here's, like, side note. I know we're talking about TV, but the reason I want to bring this up is I feel like his books can get you through things.
Oh, yeah.
I read An Abundance of Catherines. I picked it up knowing nothing about this author and nothing about, like, his writing style or anything. My middle name is Catherine, so I was intrigued. And this was about the time when I was being diagnosed with my autoimmune diseases. And I was, like, really down on myself. I was really, like, I don't know if I'd necessarily say depressed. I have talked openly on the pod before about dealing with anxiety and depression and being honest about it. But I picked this book up at that time when you're like, what is wrong with me? Why is this happening to me? And it's really, really got me through that. There's gut-wrenching parts to it. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of, he just has one-liners that one of the, you know, like somebody will pop off, like the heroine will pop off at somebody or the hero will pop off at somebody. And I don't know, he's just fantastic. And then going from there, he's written several others. So then I kind of like went forward and Fault in Our Stars, mm-hmm. which was a fantastic movie. But that book, I actually stumbled upon, like, knowing who he was at that point, knowing I liked him. But I read that when my dad was going through chemo, which you would think, why would you do that? And it actually, it got me through that. So, knowing that about him, hello, we all know Miranda circles back. She's got a story to tell. Knowing that about John Green, even though I have not read Looking for Alaska, and even though there's no real trailers yet, even though it comes out in like a month, I have high hopes and will be giving this a shot and think that it should be highlighted as a give it a go, especially if you're one of our friends that is our friends or listeners that's a book person. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's Hulu too, so far Hulu's done a really good job with originals as well as Netflix, so I think definitely, definitely looking forward to that.
The other one is on Amazon, and it's called Modern Love. And this one has sort of a ensemble cast, and it has Tina Fey in it. So I'm like, yep, and pretty much anything with Tina Fey I'm going to watch. And also Anne Hathaway is in it.
Huh, I was not familiar with this one, or maybe I did see something and didn't realize it. When I saw the Modern Love, I was like, the David Bowie song? I honestly thought it was maybe something David Bowie related, because it's on Amazon, and he has a song called Modern Love.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that looks like a good one to check out. It's like a romantic comedy anthology.
Oh, and apparently, learned something new. There is a podcast called Modern Love brought to you by NPR.
Oh, nice. NPR. Yes.
It features popular New York Times column and readings by notable personalities. Updates. You should probably check this out. This one's titled My Platonic Romance on the Psych Ward.
Holy shit.
Okay. I am intrigued. All right. this is why Miranda Googles things while she's talking to Jenny. Because now
platonic
I'm intrigued.
Platonic romance. That doesn't make any sense.
Platonic romance on the psych ward.
On the psych ward. Okay.
It's an essay. It says it's an essay about a deep, enduring friendship that starts in an unlikely place.
Okay. Well, spoilers in the title. But okay.
That's so. There's a new podcast from NPR for you guys to check out. Okay.
Okay, so moving on to that, pretty much gets all of October.
Yeah.
So there's some late October and then November and December premieres.
The only thing I'm disappointed about in these mid seasons here is that some of them had no previews whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that was
none.
Frustrating. Yep.
And so they don't have dates. So if you email me and say, hey, what date does that air? I'm going to be like, I sent you the emoji where I'm shrugging.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think mostly everybody's going to be obsessed with Disney Plus when it launches in November. And so you can watch things like The Mandalorian, which we did get a full trailer for and looks fucking awesome.
You should see the trailer. I've been trying to feature things on Instagram. I have so much more to show you, but D3 is literally like 2-3 days. It's 3 days. It's short in the world of like conventions, right? Mm-hmm. One day I will make it to D3. I might have to drag Jenny. No, I really won't have to drag her anymore.
No.
But like, I will make it. I will make it. So like, Disney Plus, if you want to give us a one of them, sample.
Yeah.
Jenny and I will share. Mm-hmm. Actually, is that illegal? I don't know. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But yeah, there's some good stuff coming. I do want to give it more love. I'm not saying it's going to get the amount of love that we give, Jenny and I give the CW, but I would like to dedicate more time and like delve into some of these because they are still releasing, even though D3 is over, they are still releasing stuff like every day. So maybe, like I said earlier, they might be upcoming, maybe not whole episode, but a time where we discuss some different Disney Plus D3 happenings.
I'm in. Let's do it. Also on November 17th, mm-hmm. The Crown Season 3 starts. So yes. Stoked about that because I kind of
fantastic
fell backwards into that show and became obsessed with it.
It's I love anything royal family. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously. And I think what sells this show so much, I had somebody be like, why do they keep changing casts? This is somebody that didn't watch. Mm-hmm. Because at different points in her life, the queen looks older or younger. And instead of aging someone, they pick someone that would look as close as possible, obviously. And they age her either backwards or forwards. And I think that is fantastic. And I also think it, because you act different at different times in your life. So having a different presence on that camera to represent that person or that character, I don't know. It's kind of a genius idea. Like, instead of just aging someone, which we do enjoy seeing the anti-aging or aging of someone on screen. But I don't know. I highly recommend The Crown if you're into anything to do with the royal family or royals or anything in that wheelhouse. And like I said, it's just so well done in that concept, which is different from what we've seen before.
Claire Foy, who played the queen, is just utterly fantastic. And I think that from a practical standpoint, another reason why you would switch casts is because these actresses like this, they can't be in these shows for, you know, 5-6 seasons because they have movie careers. And
right.
If you're going to wait between movies, you know, then that means that the seasons they get pushed further and further apart. And so for continuity's sake, like as far as like production and getting the show done, I think it makes sense to switch out actors if you can in a way that, you know, serves the story. I think it's smart, you know, to keep your story alive.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Because people get like, you know, they just get so much, like, they get jobs off of things that they're good at, which is what
they
want to
like further their career or don't not get burnt out doing the same thing. And I, you know, I think honestly that's why Jenny and I we're almost at 3 years now. And yes, you don't maybe get us consistently or every month or every other week, but I think that's part of the reason that we haven't hit a burnout. Is because just like those actors, which not, I'm not comparing what I do to what they do, but what I'm saying is like anything you do in life that is a hobby or a job, if you don't find a way to like mix it up, or spice it up, or change it, or do something different, you suddenly find yourself upon season 16 and you're like, I'm fucking done already. Yeah, you know, yeah. Like it happens. And then, yeah. So, I mean, how many times have you had a show where a character has left? And you're like, why the hell did that happen? And then you get to reading and it's because they were offered this opportunity to go do something else. And they were like, you know what? If I go do this, there's no way I can do both. I have to choose. Mm-hmm. So.
And, you know, that's cool. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is.
Okay. What else?
December 13th. Do you have any, there was like. Oh, you do actually have something before then. Go ahead.
I had The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel returning for season 3 on December 6th on Amazon. I fucking love this show. I've talked about it a bunch. Mm-hmm. But season 2 was wonderful. Did not disappoint. And I'm just thrilled and just cannot wait for more Mrs. Maisel. I burned through that show. It was so good.
It's one of those I could see, Jenny, we've talked about, like, comfort shows and comfort movies, like, things that we've rewatched over and over and over again because it's, like, comforting. I could see this being that for you.
You know, I need to do another rewatch because it moves. It's like Gilmore Girls because it moves so quickly that you really have to be paying attention. And if you walk out of the room or if you start surfing, you know, Facebook on your phone, you're going to miss something. So,
is it one of the ladies in Miss Maisel? Was she not on Gilmore Girls or am I getting her confused?
Yes, she was. Yeah, there's a lot of crossover between the two.
I like that. Is it an Amy Sherman thing?
Yeah,
Amy,
it is.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep.
She's notorious for using the same people, which I have no problem with that. So whatever, you know who you work well with and you know who can get on screen what you want projected. So, cool.
All right. What else you got?
So now we're kind of at the end of things that we have a date for, things that we're aware of. Mm-hmm. We have The Expanse, which is now on Amazon and is originally a sci-fi television show. Mm-hmm. Fantastic space drama, space opera, if you will. Really good. My husband adores it, and Jenny can tell you he is not a big TV person. Mm-hmm. So he loves that. The books are wonderful as well. And then Marvel's Runaway, which was surprisingly really good.
Yeah, I never watched that.
I haven't finished it, but I'm enough into the season, that which was a season 1. Hulu. Yeah, Hulu. That I can definitely say surprisingly really good. I love it a lot, and I'm very excited to see that it's getting a second run. I could see this being something that Hulu is now owned by Disney. It was part of what they got in that whole big thing that Jeannie and I can only understand like a 1/16th
right,
of.
Right, yeah.
So I'm not sure, and I may have missed the memo. It's from Hulu, but I could see it because of when it's coming out, when season 2 is coming out. It might go to Disney Plus.
Oh, okay.
So, as a side note, kind of watch if you're a streamer or if you only stream. Some of your things might be moving and shifting. Mm-hmm. Not going away, but like making some changes to where they will be available.
I saw some mid-season premieres.
I have several highlighted, and they're listed in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I looked through a couple of these. The only few that I noticed was something called Outmatched on Fox.
I did. I want to say that one did have a preview because it's marked green. So that meant definitely interested. That's how I notated it.
Jason Biggs is in it, and he hasn't really done much in a while.
Okay, yes. You said Jason Biggs, and now I remember exactly that preview, and it was funny.
It was. It was weird, like different.
And it was Maggie Lawson, who gets mistaken for Alicia Silverstone all the time. Yeah. That was from Psych, one of my other, like, all-time favorite shows. And their parents raising, is it three kids, Jen?
There's four kids. You're four. There's four kids, and three of them are super smart.
Like, beyond super smart. Like, I can't even in this preview, cannot even begin to explain to you how smart these kids are.
Way smarter than their parents.
And then one's like the kid that eats glue.
Yeah, right. So I think that's a funny concept, and I am raising a child who is smarter than me. And
I feel like that all the time.
So, yeah, I feel dumb a lot, and so I just really like the premise of this, and I think it would be funny.
It's cute. It's cute. Fox is usually pretty decent with funny, too.
Yeah, Fox does comedy pretty well.
So I've noticed a correlation between a lot of my friends and a lot of the ladies in my, and I wonder if it's because it's kind of a romance thing. I watch tons of Hallmark. That's no surprise to any of you, unless you're new here. If you're new, hi! But I have a lot of people that are like, what do you mean you don't watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette? And I'm like, I just don't really watch a lot of reality. So now everybody is like suddenly boycotting this next season of The Bachelor. And I guess because he was The Bachelor before, and also because he's not African American, which I buy that second one. Like, why the heck? There's some hot, you know. Mm-hmm. There are some hot, hot gentlemen out there that deserve just as much time. But now I'm like, if these ladies are boycotting it so bad, should I watch for the hate watch factor? Like, should I see what the hell? Because I make fun of you guys for hate watching, and I'm like, you do know you're giving it a rating. Plus, we all know these ladies that are on, like, season 11,000 of The Bachelor, that they're like, I'm not watching it. He was horrible. They're gonna watch it.
I mean, so basically, like, if you just follow them on social media, you don't have to watch anything because the best parts will be on there.
But I remember. Do you remember a couple of seasons ago where I watched like four episodes on purpose because the one girl didn't even know how to make frozen macaroni and cheese?
I do remember that.
She had her nanny still took care of her, and they were like, "How old are you?" That is the only reason. And I would watch, like, only clips that she was in. Anyway. So, I want our fans to tell me, should I hate watch The Bachelor and report back? Or should I just say, nah, like I have been pretty much my whole life?
I vote that you watch Mrs. Maisel as opposed to The Bachelor.
Okay, well, I take that one. I would take that one. There was one that it's like so very little about it, super vague, but the title has me intrigued. It sounds like it's straight up a Miranda show. The Baker and the Beauty.
I looked that up and I couldn't find anything.
No, I could not find anything. I think I found like who the, here, keyboard's really clacky. Hang on a second, guys.
Clack.
It's the best keyboard ever. Mm-hmm. So, and here's the thing. So, you search Baker and the Beauty, and there is a comedy series from Israel called Baker and the Beauty.
That's what I found.
So, I'm wondering if we're getting, like, an English version.
Maybe so.
Or, like, English. I say English, like, American TV version. Because they speak English, too. But if it's there, because that's all I can find. I cannot... I think it maybe showed on ABC blogs, like, the cast. Mm-hmm. And they were very pretty people.
Well, yeah.
And he... Okay, oh, they have an update. This is not available. So he is a Cuban parents, and siblings expect him to be part of this family bakery. But on a wild Miami night, he meets... international superstar and fashion mogul, and his life changes and goes into the spotlight. So it is very, okay, so it is very, very similar to the synopsis from the Israeli one.
Okay.
Okay, so it's basically just, it's switched, looks like they're Cuban. Mm-hmm. It takes place in the U.S., obviously, in Miami. And
what channel is that?
It's ABC.
Okay.
So, ABC, that is something ABC knows how to do. You know, they that cutesy, funny. I don't recognize any of the names, but I believe if we probably, like, copy-paste Google search these people. Oh! Michelle Ventimiglia. Yeah, I'm not gonna butcher her name. She's been in tons of stuff. She's one of, again, these are all people that if you look at their face, you know them for the most part.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
Yeah, very interesting, though. So that one was, like, I was, like, highlighting. I'm like, can you double highlight? even though I knew, like, nothing about it. So there you go. The Baker and the Beauty. Do you have any bees? Any bees?
Mm-mm.
Oh, there was Broke on CBS.
Yeah, watch the trailer for that.
So she's my favorite that left NCIS. Mm-hmm. She was my Abby. She will always be my Abby. I'm very excited to see her because she's funny. And she's just, like when you watch interviews with her and stuff, like she's very endearing. So I'm excited to see her in a role like this. But apparently she's a single mom, like working multiple jobs, like trying to make ends meet and be a good mom. And her sister, who married like super, super rich to the guy that played the dad on Jane the Virgin. He's hysterical as well. Remember, he's the one, we have talked about him before. He was mm-hmm. Rogelio.
Mm-hmm.
So they have either gone bankrupt or lost all their money in a bad, something's happened. And they have to move in with her now in this like two bedroom little thing. So I could see this going downhill,
mm-hmm.
but it's CBS. So it's going to follow the same lines as, others I've mentioned earlier, Mom, Two Broke Girls. Yeah. Like, it's going to have, like, serious notes and probably and funny ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then one that has nothing, but I am intrigued by the title, is Council of Dads on NBC. NBC can usually bring the funny, so.
Call me when it's Council of Daddies.
Well, I don't know. You may watch it and be like, Daddies. Mm. I mean, who knows?
Right.
We don't know.
It's interesting how many of these shows are returning as mid-season premiere.
Well, I'm going to be honest. Clive Standen and Tom Everett Scott, I'm here for at least a couple of episodes.
Mm. Do like me some Tom Everett Scott.
J. August Richards, okay, I'm here. I'm here. We'll try that. Report back. Again, not much about it. FBI got a spinoff show called FBI Most Wanted. I marked it as a there was a funny it's called Filthy Rich. It looked like a combination of like Schitt's Creek and Dynasty. So I was like, intrigued. Let's see. Last Man Standing is a return for me that I adore.
Mm-hmm.
MacGyver is still on, guys.
What?
I know, because you're like, wait, that's still on? I've seen the guy that plays MacGyver. He's adorable. And then his sidekick was a longtime CSI, like the original like CSI Las Vegas. He was in that. Manifest returns. I talked heavily about that one last year.
That's
the flight. That one actually was really, really good. I was very, like, what? It's mid-season, so the good thing about that is I watched that into, like, the beginning of summer.
Mm-hmm.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back for its final season. I highlighted that because I know we have a lot of people that actually they're kind of on the, I've been watching this since the dawn of time, kind of like The Walking Dead, like, I want to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Have I passed over any you had so far?
Mm-mm.
I remember, so I highlighted this one and now I don't even remember what the heck it was. It's called Next, N-E capital X-T on Fox. Do you remember looking at that one?
No, I didn't look at that one.
Okay. So I don't know that one, but I highlighted it. So somebody check it out and see what it is. We talked about Outmatched. And the only other one that is actually on this list that I did highlight was Tommy. She's the first female LA police chief. She's snarky and she's a badass in that preview.
Mm-hmm.
Tells basically the mayor like where he can go, that she's the chief, not him. So I was like, okay, you get a mark, you get a highlight. So those are all, I feel like we'll go in more depth like later, but we always try to touch on the mid seasons if we can.
I mean,
there's a lot. I feel like we said this last year.
We did. Before. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's good though, right? Unless you're like me and you start shows and you never finish them, which has happened.
That's happened to me too. And every year I think to myself, oh, not that much was canceled. There's no way there's that many new shows. But right now I'm looking at all these highlighter marks and I'm like, how are there that many new shows?
Yeah. I think.
Is it that we're starting to have way more mid-season than we did before?
I was surprised by that huge list of mid-season. I mean, there's ones like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Blind Spot, which I feel like are pretty, like, popular. Mm-hmm. So I was confused by that. And then, what was the other one that
like, Will and Grace is a mid-season this year.
Right, Good Girls.
Mm-hmm. Which I've heard amazing, amazing things about mm-hmm. that, but never, I have not watched it.
Even, like, Hell's Kitchen,
Well, Criminal Minds mm-hmm. is not, it's a mid-season this year.
Mm-hmm. MasterChef?
Baffled me.
So that's weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, and I'm wondering if they're just trying to move more content into the summer months. Because think about the streaming services and the, sorry, I'm getting tired in the hiccups. The streaming services and then, like, cable shows that are mm-hmm. cable channels mm-hmm. that have a lot of summer shows. I wonder if they're trying to be like, oh, shit, we need to.
Maybe so.
Just a thought.
So that is pretty comprehensive preview, minus the CW stuff, which we promise will be coming.
Yeah, it will be.
And,
buckle up for probably a couple of long episodes from us. Cause I know this one's already like way over 2 hours.
Yeah. I had, like you said earlier, I'd solicited, some comments from mm-hmm. Twitter and Facebook. So I just wanted to read some of what, feedback we got on Twitter. Our friend Russell says he is excited for all of the DCW lineup. Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover, Arrow's final season, Batwoman, Titans on DCU, which I meant to look up the date for and I did not.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
AEW, NXT, The Mandalorian, and The World According to Jeff Goldblum on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty great list. Greg Phillips says the CWDC lineup, especially Arrow's final season. Michael Cook says Blacklist, The Good Place, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Blue Bloods, and How to Get Away with Murder. I was not expecting that last one. Wow.
Who said that?
Michael Cook.
Okay.
Our good friend Stephanie, at Bunny Meow Meow, which I just like saying her handle.
I know. At Bunny Meow Meow.
She is looking forward to Silicon Valley on HBO. Me too. Which I did not look up that date either. And she says also technically it already premiered, but the HBO show Becoming a God in Central Florida, which I looked up after I read this tweet, it looks really great. Has had an amazing first two episodes, and she is really looking forward to the rest of the season. And, yeah, I want to try out that show, too.
Right.
And then another special shout-out to Stephanie, too, because if you go over to our Twitter, to our profile, she has a couple of, well, was it for my birthday or it was something? No.
Well, for your birthday, I surprised you, and she made our logo that's logo. On all of our social medias.
Right. So we've
the
had
little bubble. Yeah, that's me and Jenny.
We've had this logo and she for made a that. Little bit. And so she made us a little banner, too, for the Twitter page. So it looks really cute. I really like it. And
I love it.
thank you very much for that, Stephanie. The other comment that I have was from the PIC, Scott Ruscolo. He said, definitely all the DCW shows, including the long-awaited Crisis story and the newest season of The Goldbergs. Mm-hmm. And I think there were quite a few comments on the Facebook page. Did you have those?
I do. So our good friend Susan, who we've mentioned a lot, she says the new season of Schitt's Creek, and she is calling it AKA the best show in existence. It comes back to Netflix in October. I will say it is a fantastic show. You should give it a shot. Our friend Jason Sherman says he doesn't know why anymore, but The Walking Dead. As you can tell, pretty popular between all of our Place to Be Nation family, but our manager, Todd Weber, says he can't wait for his stories on the CW, and I love that he said his stories on the CW. Mm-hmm. That made my day. Our wonderful friend Andy, who we've mentioned a lot, yes, that Andy, the final season is A Good Place. Yes, I'm looking forward to that as well. Very sad. Bianca, who we've also talked about for our B, is excited for Superstore. She's sad every single week that there isn't a new episode. And this one I'm not familiar with, but D'Amato, who is another family member of the Place to Be Nation here, says The Deuce and its third and final season will be dropping on 9/9. So,
well, thank you for putting a date on there, so I didn't have to look
it
up.
Yeah, that helps, but I need to look that one up. I'm not super familiar with it. And last, but definitely not least, our favorite friend, JT Rosero, says It's Always Sunny. It hadn't dropped off at all, and last season was still great. And he is hoping for news that the 90210 special series, whatever they're calling it, that Jenny mentioned at the beginning of the show, he really, really hopes to see it get a season two.
Me too. Agree with that.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how I called our list, like, comprehensive, and then everybody named all this crap. I'm like, oh, yeah, we didn't say anything about this.
But, so, you mentioned Superstore. Okay, well, at least a good chunk of our Facebook comments we did talk about. But, yeah, there were a lot on Twitter that I was like, didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Especially the one from Stephanie. I was like, oh, that looks good. So, we love that you guys interact and give us information and a quick reminder, because I think Jenny and I are both, like, slowly slumping onto our desks here.
A little bit.
Helping and making those comments, interacting with us until not a set date, but until sometime mid-September, mm-hmm. we'll get you entries into that weekend pass to Fanaticon in Dothan, Alabama, October 4th, 5th, and 6th. So just a reminder, we are going to take – I am going to take these that you guys gave us tonight and go ahead and – add those as additional entries because I feel like every single one of these people will enter. So yeah, interaction with us, messaging us, asking us questions. Yeah, any of those things will get you an entry into the cool giveaway there.
Cool. I love it. So we decided to pretty much dedicate this entire episode to our fall TV preview. But I have fallen in love with a podcast, and I have been dying to tell you about it. So
I'm excited because you usually have really amazing podcast recommendations.
So I don't even remember where I initially – it might have been on No Sleep or somewhere. I don't know. But anyway, I came across the name of it. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. I went and I followed it. And one random night, I was like, let me try this new podcast. And I fell in love with it. It is called Real Life Ghost Stories. It is hosted by a couple named Emma and Dan. Emma is Irish. Dan is English.
Full accent.
She has the most amazing accent. And his is also very good. And they are very, they're just adorable and so much fun to listen to. Their show premise is very simple. The first like 10 minutes, really, this is a short little movie review of a horror movie. So usually it's Dan liking it and her not liking it. So it's great. And then the rest of their show is dedicated to real life ghost stories. So they will find stories online and they will solicit stories from their listeners, which are tend to be my most favorite episodes. And they range from alien stories, poltergeists, demons, urban legends, and I mean, just anything you can think of. And they tell a couple stories and they discuss them, and it's a delight, just a complete delight. If you like spooky stuff, right? Because I enjoy those stories, and the way that she tells them is wonderful. Just listening to her speak is wonderful. And in all of these years that I've listened to podcasts and loved podcasts, this is the first one I became a patron of on Patreon. So they're getting five of my dollars every month because they do bonus content, and they're not like obnoxious about it. Like I said, the whole thing is very simple. And maybe once or twice they've had a guest, but it's usually just them two. They read their reviews that they get on the air, which I love for some reason. I just really do. And then they thank their Patreon subscribers by name on the show. So I just think it's like really like sweet touches like that really hook me.
So it's like your heaving bosoms.
A little bit, yeah.
Because I'm like obsessed. I did become a Patreon. They do not a lot of the same thing because it's a different topic, but they do not for every Patreon, but they do certain shout outs for certain Patreons. They just put like that extra touch and they mm-hmm. make you feel theirs instead of reading the reviews. Mm-hmm. If you give them a 5-star review, they're not telling them that you have to, but if you do give them one, they allow you to give them a book for them to read and review. So, they like you get to pick. Mm-hmm. And at some point in their seasons, your book will be read and reviewed and featured, and they'll say, "This is given to us by." So, I like that interaction. I like
me
that.
Too. Me
like
too.
As a podcaster, that I can go to somebody else's podcast and listen to it and feel just like a listener and appreciate the work and the dedication and the things that they. That they do over there. This definitely sounds like one check out. If you are a newer listener, I will tell you right now, Jenny has never recommended a podcast that did not turn out to be fantastic.
I'm just saying, I binged these like over the last week. There's 43 episodes right now. Usually they're about 45 minutes. Some of them are a little bit longer, an hour or so. And then when you're a patron, they do 4 bonus episodes a month. So
that's a lot of content.
Not a bad deal. And then Dan has like a sort of side project called 50p Movie Club where he reviews really terrible movies, which I haven't listened to any of those yet.
I've actually seen that one. Like
oh,
I've
really?
Seen the advertisement for that one. Okay. I have not listened to it, but it was either like – you know how iTunes would be like, because you listen to this, you'll mm-hmm. like this. Or, you know, Facebook and Instagram will be like, because you like this, you should like this. And I don't remember where I saw it, but I do remember that one by name.
But I'm sad today because I finished binging. So I'm all caught up. Now I have to wait another damn week. And
I have re-listened to podcasts just like I will re-watch a show or reread a book.
Yeah, I feel like I'm probably going to end up doing that. But I just love it, love it, love it. I'm trying to find their name on here so that, I can point you to their,
And what was the name of that one you said?
It's called Real Life Ghost Stories. So if you look that up on Instagram, they have a Facebook page, they have a secret group, and then they have a Twitter. And then, of course, Patreon.
Share that one on our social media for you guys so you can find it. Since I feel like if you Googled Real Life Ghost Stories podcast, you would hope that it would be the first one, but I guess it might not be. Oh my God, their logo is
it's so cute.
fucking adorable.
That was one of the things that grabbed me. Yeah, it's really, really, they're really cute. And they have a cat named Bim, and I'm just obsessed. It's just great.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
And I haven't written a review yet, so I wanted to catch up, you know, before I wrote the review, so. All right. Was there anything else you wanted to mention before we get to our last segment?
So originally I didn't think I had a download or anything. I have a specific episode of a podcast that I've already mentioned. I alluded to this earlier. I'll be super quick because I'd really like you to go listen to this interview. It's the Wizards of the Coast, which are, if you're familiar, if you play D&D or you're familiar with D&D, you know that they are like the D&D. They are where you get your information, your books, your game, like all of it comes from them, right? So they have Dragon Talk, which I've mentioned on here before. My son and I listened to it together, and we took a trip up to Kentucky before my surgery, and I got tired of the book. He'd fallen asleep, and he loves Dragon Talk, but like sometimes he decides he wants to do something else. And they had an episode where at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll listen to this one. Like, I'll see what happens. But they interviewed Ember Moon from Disney. And this young lady is, I say young lady, I don't think she's really that much younger than me. Or she may be the same age as us. Anyway.
No, she's definitely younger than us.
Well, she's younger, but anyway, I'll have to look that up for just knowing's sake. Anyway, if you are familiar with her character, her person, she's 30. Actually, she's not that much younger.
Well.
Yeah, she's 30. Yeah, I mean. Anyway. She is not someone they interviewed saying like, oh, hey, so you're new to D&D. No, this lady is like hardcore one of us guys. Like she is geek sassy.
Really?
You definitely go listen to this episode with her. She talks about, how she, I believe it was like different animes that she was into and different, comics and D&D and like all this stuff that she was like heavily into, but like she didn't want to tell people because like we've talked about before, you didn't like tell people because unless they were your like direct group of friends, it was not something that you told people. And she is very much into D&D. As a matter of fact, her character, her persona, Ember Moon, her costume and her things are based off of a D&D character that she created. She has created multiple characters. She gets into really hardcore like backstory for these characters. Listening to her talk about her love of this game, this tabletop game, and just listening to her in general, she is very smart. She talks about how she actually hid from her parents that she was training as a wrestler. She was going to, I think she was going to college and working, and then like at night telling them like she had to work late and going and driving like a good distance to go to this gym to train. Cause she didn't want them to be like, that's a waste of your time. It's not worth it. And listening to her and her husband plays, they have a D&D room. And they play it on the road. They now have a group of them that all play this together. He's a wrestler as well. I don't know. It's just very fascinating. She's very eloquent when she speaks. She's very smart. I fell in love with Ember Moon listening to this specific interview that Dragon Talk, the guys from Greg and them did with her. There.
That is awesome. Like,
yeah,
I love her in the ring. So that's really cool to know. I'll listen to that.
So like her contacts that she wears and the stare down that she does and all of that is, it's tied to a D&D character. And when she like, they asked her if she had any ideas, what she wanted to do, she kind of gave them some and she thought they would look at her and be like, no, you're weird. What's wrong with you? And they apparently ate it up. But yeah, highly recommend. I know we have a lot of WWE fans, even if you're not a D&D fan. Just listening to her like nerd out and truly love something was just, I don't know. I like I said, I started doing more research into her and looking her up and like following her on Twitter and following her on Instagram because I just didn't know these things about her. And it's one of those like small world, like she is one of us kind of thing. So yeah, awesome. Check her out. Check out that episode. It's a newer one, but they do one every week, so you may have to look back a little bit.
Okay. Well, I think it's about that time.
It's about that time. Today, brought to you by Geek and Sassy of Place to Be Nation, it is Nerd Eye Candy of the moment.
Well done.
Thank
you. All right, so we've talked more wrestling on Geek and Sassy than I think we ever have.
And if this show goes well, we might talk more than we ever have before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with it. So I have decided for my Nerd Eye Candy to pick legendary wrestling announcer, podcaster, and amazing human being. His name is Tony Schiavone. I've met Tony. I met him in New York at WrestleCon at WrestleMania weekend, and he was a doll, and I was so excited to meet him. I have video of me meeting him, and he is going to be working for AEW. He's going to be doing their TV, calling the matches. So he is returning to wrestling, and I am so excited. I think he's going to be really good. He still has such a spark and passion for wrestling, and I think that his podcasting with Conrad has really opened him up a lot, and he seems so thrilled and so happy to be where he's at, and I just adore him. So he is my Nerd Eye Candy.
Good choice. This sounds really vain and probably really like crappy of me, but usually there's a common theme when I pick a Nerd Eye Candy. They're usually one that a person would consider, or most people would consider, very nice looking. Somebody, typically, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that this person is not nice looking, but people are going to be a little confused when I say the name. One, because they may not know him, even though we've mentioned him here before. But two, looks-wise, he's not what I would gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now that I've, like, prefaced all that to explain myself, I am going to pick Aaron Mankey.
Oh, really?
Yes, who you introduced me to. Well, yes. Not physically.
Yeah.
I mean, no. We're hoping, we're crossing fingers that Jenny and I get to meet this man. But you introduced me to his podcast Lore originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with it, but then like kind of got off track again. Too many things. You got something usually ends up going on the back burner. Amazon turned his podcast Lore into a show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you reintroduced me or re-reminded me basically about him when you told us back, I don't remember how long ago now, about Unobscured, because you know my love for anything Salem Witch Trials.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to this. And it takes a really strong person, voice-wise, talent-wise, like their ability to grasp you in, pull you in, keep your attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this man has the voice to do that. And I could never see his face and still be like, Aaron Mankey. It's not like this seductive voice. It's just this very, like, it's very calm.
Mm-hmm.
It's very engaging. It's very, I hate to use the word energetic, but you do get an energy and a presence. I sound all hippy-dippy right now. That, like, I could listen to this man talk all freaking day long.
It's
about anything.
It's like you're learning something from him, but he's right. Telling you in a very, like, interesting way. And, yeah, I totally agree.
He's talking to you, not at you.
Right, yes.
Because have you ever listened to a podcast where the information is phenomenal information? I won't say names, but there's one that I really want to like. She's a sweet girl, and she's messaged me privately about things, introduced herself to me. topics are fantastic, right on point. I won't say what they are because it'll be easier to figure it out from people that follow us. And I don't want to be rude to this poor girl. But she talks really fast like this, like she's reading from cards, like constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's not engaging. It's not inviting. It's not – and she's one person doing this. And you and I have talked before about a one-person podcast is super hard to keep mm-hmm. going. Hence why I waited so long to do a podcast. I did not want to. I can only talk to myself for so long, people, and I do enough of it throughout the day. But he manages to do that, and he tells you a story, and he talks to you, not at you. He doesn't demean or give you information in a condescending manner where, like in Unobscured, for example, he's giving you factual, they can back it up, truths to the Salem witch trials that are in a lot of ways far different than what we've learned and been taught and read about in history or didn't read about. And it was very interesting to have those gaps filled in with, and he even says sometimes, okay, the next few sentences are speculation of what we think they said. Mm-hmm. But it would back up what they do have research-wise now that they can prove. So I love the way that he gives you content and the way he presents himself on screen, on podcast, on camera. He just seems very put together, mm-hmm. very smart. Smart is like smart is sexy.
Smart is
if you're
sexy.
Smart is sexy. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's not sexy when you're condescending and you talk at me and you mansplain. And mm-hmm. I just feel like if we met him, he would not be any of those things. He would not be a mansplainer. He would not be condescending. He would be very like inviting and warm. And yeah.
Okay. So since we're talking about Aaron Mankey, I don't know if you've heard about Noble Blood yet.
What? He's got the man has so many projects. That's this other thing. Like,
well, he's not
like full career.
He's not the narrator in it, but he I think he produces it. So there's a lady who tells the stories,
okay.
But there's been like four episodes, and it's all different types of like families throughout history. So Marie Antoinette was on there, King Charles II, and this last one that I listened to today was about Nicholas II and
that
story. So yeah, another great addition to his podcast family. Even though he's not the one telling the story, he's like involved in the production, and you can tell.
So. And obviously he knows how to do a good podcast and what those key components are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a good podcast, but I feel like he could probably teach us a few things, you know?
Oh, for sure.
So obviously he's going to produce something or be part of something that has that same presence, mm-hmm. that same feel.
And like the historical, you know, genre really is what he's doing. So, yeah, it's really cool too. Look up Noble Blood.
He is a nice looking man. He's not ugly.
Yeah,
so
he's
like
cute.
I don't want people to think, oh, so she's saying he's ugly, but she's attracted to his voice. But I am. That's what attracts me is his knowledge and his voice and his like that's why he's my nerd eye candy is because I like gravitate. I see his name on something and I'm like, oh, what is
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Wow. All right. I really like that pick. That's a good pick.
Thank you.
So, I think we're about done for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, at Geek and Sassy. You can find me on Twitter, Jenny Cruz, 2814. And Miranda is at Mom's a Nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure if you want to, win a pass to Fanaticon, comment, like, share, and let us know.
Ooh, I just thought of a bonus.
Ooh, what?
If you subscribe to Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, which we are featured on, that's where our home is. If you subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, and either give me your name that I could find you on a platform. Tell me the platform and the name. Because some people will subscribe, obviously, and they don't have any clue what's going on, right? So they'd be like, oh, I wasn't interested in going to that. Nope. So I get that. So if you subscribe and you leave a review and you email us geekandsassy@gmail.com, a screenshot of where you subscribed and your review, I will give you two additional entries.
Wow.
Look at and you have to remain subscribed through, like, when I go to pull the winner. If you're not so subscribed, like, you forfeit.
Oh, all right.
You have to remain subscribed through the contest.
Which we will hopefully be giving that away mid-September.
Yes, mid-September on our
birthiversary.
Birthiversary episode. Woo woo. So, yes, check that out. I might be bombarding your social media with reminders of this. And also check out Fanaticon.
Yes.
Fanatics Wrestling Federation. And Fanatics of Dothan. Fanatics of Enterprise. There's one in Troy as well. Check them out. Find them for, you know, they're not sponsoring us, but I feel like they're giving us something really cool to give you guys. So, like, check them out, support them, shop local, you know, all that fun jazz.
All right. All that being said, thank you for listening.
And this time, you're definitely welcome for talking because this shit hurt.
Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing, fever started long ago. Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame, thou givest fever. When we kiss it, fever with thy flaming youth. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yea, I burn forsooth. Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, Daddy, oh, don't you dare give me fever. With his kisses, fever when he holds me tight. Fever, I'm his missus. Daddy, won't you treat him right? Now you've listened to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade, to give you fever. When you kiss them, fever, if you live, you learn. Fever, till you sizzle, what a lovely way to burn.